about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Is it human, animal, or something in between?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, my God. Mean. Stop me. Too much. That's what
I mean. But I really don't like the people I've been talking about helping out. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I like people, period. I mean, you guys are okay. I'm just trying to be honest about being a misanthrope.
So you're not going to go to law school? What do you want to do then?
I want to dance.
And now, 20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout raper Drake.
You cannot run around so casually using that word, okay? Rape is for special occasions.
Our feature presentation.
I think she meant rap, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
She did mean to say rapper, yes. Now that I hear it again, I think you're right about that.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, and it's a Monday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How was your weekend?
It was okay.
Do anything fun?
No.
Do anything neat?
Not okay. A damn thing.
It was okay.
I bet better.
And nothing naked? That's sad.
Nope.
Wow.
I got a sports injury this weekend, Kevin. You're going to love this. I've been dying to tell you this all weekend long.
Sports.
You have a sports injury?
Sports injury.
A sports injury. Would I consider it a sport?
Yes, you would. Well, okay. No, you wouldn't consider it a sport. You would consider it a sports injury.
Okay. Is solitaire a sport?
You know how I haven't been to a doctor yet. I need to go because I can barely walk. Every step is excruciating.
Sweet.
I did some deal where, and I don't know the parts. I don't know anything, but your lower calf in your leg pulled a muscle that is like hyperextended or something like that. I mean, it's super, super tight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're walking on your tiptoes all the time, but with every step, it's enormously painful. I mean, it really – I've never had anything like it before.
Right.
What was I doing? How did I do it? How did it happen? What was going on at the time that the injury occurred?
Let us guess, if you don't mind.
That's what I thought you might enjoy.
My guess was solitaire.
Okay.
No, I was going with rodeo riding.
Rodeo riding.
An excellent guess, Lisa. Thank you.
All right. I'll go with watching rodeo riding on TV.
All right. I'll go with that. Yep, that's a good
one. That's about as active as Bean gets. He's not exactly an athlete.
So both of your guesses...
No, that wasn't a real guess.
In all seriousness, are that I was sitting at the time.
My real guess. Wow, what would my real guess be? You don't do anything.
He had to be, like, climbing up something.
But is that
like
sport?
A hill?
Did I mention how much it hurts?
Yeah, your calf.
Excruciating.
Yeah,
I guess hiking.
It would have to be some kind of...
Like taking the dogs for a walk, something like that. Is that what you're thinking? That's the only thing that gets me out of the house?
Either that or the Ironman competition.
Already ready?
Yeah.
I was asleep at the time.
Asleep?
Oh, my God. It's so much worse.
I was asleep. Yeah, that's about as active as I get. You know how, and this has happened to everyone, you get those middle of the night, out of nowhere Charlie horses where it just you can't believe how much it hurts. And I know you're supposed to take potassium or eat bananas or something like that. It's some sort of a circulation problem or something like that. Well, I've had those on and off my whole life, but it's never been a problem. You know, you get up, you shake it out, and it's fine. And then you go back to sleep, right?
Right.
Well, this one did some sort of actual damage. This one actually like broke something or stretched something or tore something. Did something. I don't know.
It didn't break anything.
I don't know what it did. All I know is it hurt so bad. And I was sound asleep and I woke up screaming and couldn't get it to stop and then couldn't believe it when I woke up and could barely stand on it. I mean, like, how does that happen when you're asleep? What's that deal?
I don't know. I know that that does happen when you're asleep, though, that you get to cramp. But
I used to get them all the time.
And it can be bad enough that it's bruised for a full week or two.
Yeah. I've never had one that has hurt beyond the few seconds that it, you know, until I was able to shake it out. I've never had one that I felt an hour later, much less now it's been, this is the third day.
Yeah, that is a sports injury.
I think you're right. You're right about that. It's certainly consistent with the Bean you've come to know and love.
Yes,
I'll tell you that.
Very true.
So I don't know what I got to do. I don't know what the next step is because I don't know what happened. I mean, I hate going to the doctor, but I mean, what would they do if I went to a doctor? Is this a thing that needs to be massaged out, or they need
I don't think
I need
help.
To heat it out or cold it out? What do I need to do?
I don't think I don't think they could do anything. If it was just a cramp, I mean, basically, it's just a really bad bruise.
Yeah. So it'll just go away.
Yeah.
But I would think so. You might, like, try to slowly stretch it a little bit. And
yeah, each day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll take a week or two to go away if it's a really good bruise. Strong.
I can't even believe
it. About 4 days from now, you go, this still hurts this bad? It's not possible.
When I was playing for the Lakers, I never got one time hurt like this.
Why don't you come up with a better plan, though, in the meantime? Like a better story.
Good idea.
It's going to hurt for 2 weeks. I mean, people are going to ask, why are you limping and all that kind of stuff. You need a better story than I was just laying in bed asleep.
I was playing polo with Prince William in Santa Barbara. Can I go with that?
That's about as active as, as sleeping.
I can't believe it. You guys always – and I've defended myself so well on this show – and by the way, to producer Alex, I said that. Potassium, bananas, I got that. I know that. It doesn't help me now, unfortunately.
No.
But I've defended myself so well on this show about how I'm not accident prone. I don't get hurt.
Oh,
all the time.
You think you have.
But I don't.
No, I'm saying you think you've defended yourself well. But to most of us, there's no question that you're accident prone.
Yes.
Not at all.
No, I'm saying.
Not even a little bit.
I'm saying I know that's your position.
However, but our position is.
Our position is stronger that absolutely you're accident prone.
However, it doesn't help that I got an injury that may last 2 weeks while asleep. That does not advance my cause.
I don't know. He might need to start thinking about a little bit of exercise.
Don't be crazy.
Just
that's
a little
ridiculous.
Bit. Because I think his body is now folding in on itself.
He's imploding?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's the rush, Lisa?
We might need some kind of a call-in topic because I do have a friend who I play poker with about once a month. And she says pickles. And I say dumb, and she said. And by the way, we're not talking about just to prevent. She's talking about if you would have gotten up and eaten a pickle, it would have gone away like that.
Is it just cramps she's talking about?
Yeah, cramps.
Really?
Yes.
Does she keep a pickle in a bowl by her bed?
She swears by that, and I mock her endlessly. I'm like, you're telling me you're going to get a really bad cramp. And you run to the kitchen, eat a pickle, and it goes away?
I wonder if it's the salt.
She believes it. Well, even if it's good for it or it helps it or something, there's no way it ends. Hmm. The pain being felt doesn't stop 100% when
he
puts a pickle in his mouth, which he does a lot. You know what I mean?
That stops my pain.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, we're talking about actual pickles, Lisa.
We might need to have people call in at some point this week and kind of give us their take on that. But
I just couldn't believe it, though. All I knew is A, it hurt, and B, the guys are going to love this one.
Because you were laying in bed.
I was sound asleep.
That's weird. I think it happens more than people would realize.
Probably.
Because I've heard other people say they have it in their sleep.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's odd.
And then the next night, Yum Yum stepped on it right away in the middle of the night.
Oh, Yum Yum.
Exactly.
What is Yum Yum doing? What is that? Is that your donkey? What is it? Is that your...
He's a dog.
Okay.
It just happened all over again, though. I just couldn't even believe how much it hurt when he stepped on it the next night. I was like, whatever. Come on.
Yeah. It'll feel like somebody stabbed you in the calf for about a week.
Good times.
And left the knife there.
Good times.
So that is good times. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are a colossal prick.
Wow, that's rough. Jay Moores is going to be on the program
today.
Yeah,
I love Jay Moores.
How come I can't say Jay Moore anymore?
None of us can.
Because he calls himself Jay Moores all the time because he full-time now is Tracy Morgan. He's no longer doing Jay Moore's act.
Tracy Morgan calls him Jay Moores, and so he starts calling himself Jay Moores as he does that. So now I can do no different.
Exactly.
We got that. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what's been going on with the celebrities and his hatred for Nancy Grace, which, by the way, I am on board with.
Who defends her? I don't know anyone who defends her.
I never saw her until this last trial. I don't watch, what is it, Headline News?
Headline News, right.
Other than Dr. Drew, which I watch every single episode.
Of course,
episode.
Never miss that.
Without fail. But she is the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the devil, for reals. Let's see. We are going to talk to about Muggs, Beer Mug, who's our in-studio producer. And
it's all I care about.
It's all I care about, too. His girlfriend, are we allowed to say who or no? Did you check? No. Okay. He hasn't checked yet. Good. Good work, Muggs. His girlfriend is on a trip, on a vacation. Okay, fine. Without him, fine. He's got to work. Understand.
Who's she with? Nine guys. How many other girls? Zero.
They're tight.
Now, does she drink?
A lot.
Occasionally.
A lot. A tremendous
okay,
amount.
Okay, a lot.
So, is she in Europe?
Is she in Europe? Correct.
Yes. Yes, she is.
So we were talking to her late last week, and we said, you know that she's, out of those nine, she's probably racked up about six of them. I mean, she's put a notch in her belt. And he's like, she said no.
She said no.
Completely convinced that not she hasn't gotten laid one time by any of those nine guys or any of the beautiful Spanish men that she might meet while she's there
exactly.
either,
exactly. Yeah. So, and by the way, when he says he's completely convinced, Bean, there's a glint of fear in his eye.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Yeah, like we're trying to make sure there's a glint of fear in his
eye. He's trying to believe what he's saying, but I don't think he is even able to do
well,
that.
Well, we just want to get him used to the idea. So when reality comes crashing in, he's not going to be completely destroyed.
We won't destroy him. Correct.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the new TSA policy where they're looking for boob bombs. I don't know if you saw that.
How about that?
But they're talking about the terrorists actually putting bombs in boob implants.
Yeah.
Breast implants. And that seems bad. Although I'd like to be on the searching committee or whatever it is they have.
Right up until it goes wrong.
Yeah, then I'll... Might be worth it. Might be worth it.
Yeah.
We are also going to talk to Brandon Wade, who runs a service. And this is a strange service to me, where you can bid on a woman to go on a date with you. And you spend like a couple $1,000s. And you get a super hot chick, she goes on a date with you. And then she goes home. There's no sex. Ever.
You pay $2,000 and there's no sex?
Whatever the price is, yeah, it's way too much to not have sex. Now, Lisa just gave me the look like, oh, please.
Yeah, come on, there's backroom negotiating, right?
Right. Well, that's what we would think.
Yeah.
But according to the website and everybody that we talked to, this is not the case. This is actually I'm going to a high school reunion or a very important meeting and I need a date. And it's really just for appearances sake.
Then why do you have to pay so much?
I don't know why you have to pay any. Well, you can't just find...
because you might be lame, but...
Well, okay, but anyway. So really, that exists? So we're going to talk to the guy who runs it. It's not possible. We're denying it right up front. We have zero information.
Okay.
You know, there's got to be some kind of backroom negotiating where they go, hey, that was $5,000, and we were together for 2 hours, and now you're going home. I would like to accompany you to your hotel room.
Please.
So I don't know how that goes, but we'll talk to that guy and find out coming up as well. And we'll take a quick... Oh, we also have your tickets for Breakfast with Incubus. I almost forgot.
Oh, awesome.
Breakfast with Incubus is Wednesday morning, so you're running out of time. We got your chance coming up in the next hour. We will take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman.
Yes, that's correct.
Man. Welcome to Monday. What's going on, dude?
Bean Baxter...
Right.
Okay. Good.
Well, I was welcoming you, the new guy, into the room, though. Got joining the conversation. Here's Ralph
identify Garman. Kevin Ryder, Lisa May.
Here.
Cuckold.
If Beerbug knew what that word meant, he would be laughing right now.
Yes, he would.
Time for our first look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin Bean Show for Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Sports injury.
Yeah. In
sports
bed.
Injury.
Laying in bed, asleep.
You don't get to call it a sports injury, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's being. I hope you're being facetious. I hope you're.
Well, I was saying because it's the kind of injury people get playing sports. I was trying to give you an idea of what kind of thing I was talking about.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but if you have to actually have it happen to you while playing sports, I think to actually call it a sports injury.
What about the email from the guy who says it's a classic symptom of deep vein thrombosis? It's probably a blood clot that can move and travel to the lungs or brain and cause a pulmonary embolism or stroke. What about that guy?
From that guy's lips to God's ears.
What if this is the beginning of the end?
That sort of painful cramp usually is a signifies something else.
A blood clot?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, sometimes a blood clot, sometimes other things.
What should I do?
People are on a plane for hours and don't move. Being at home for hours.
That's what that is.
Doesn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what should I do, though?
You know, sometimes ball players get a concussion, like football players.
Right.
They get a concussion on the football field. If you get a concussion out on the street because you get hit by a brick, it's not a sports injury. Just because athletes sometimes get it doesn't mean it's automatically a sports injury. So when you're sleeping in your bed and you pull a muscle, it's not a sports injury.
Okay, you seem to be more concerned with me calling it a sports injury than the fact that I have a blood clot, probably I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because that's the ending that we're all hoping for.
I see.
We're talking about your description.
Save this tape to play at my funeral, would you?
No worries. We'll say it again.
Like, does anybody end your funeral to listen to it? What would be the point?
Well, you guys will do a little bit of a tribute on the air, I hope.
What?
Oh, won't you do something? Like we'll a retrospective a or something?
Yeah. Party machine will return.
You won't be happy with it, but we'll do a tribute, yeah.
I just know you guys are going to crack the mic on that first day after I die. You won't take any time off. There won't be any mourning necessary. You'll come in the next day, and Ralph will crack the mic. Hi, I'm dead.
Oh, it sure is dark in this coffin. we'll call Bean in heaven. You kidding me?
I can't wait.
We got to make sure we get those sound effects from Bean. I think he plays them from his end, and we're not going to have them if he's dead. So someone get on that.
Well, I'm glad we're all taking this seriously.
It shouldn't be taken seriously. You had a cramp while sleeping.
Hey, you know, if you're not going to take your health seriously, why should we? You're the guy who's completely inactive and eats only food made from lard.
Okay, right. Let's move on.
I have a perfect plan for what's going to happen at your funeral. You ready?
Yes.
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station. Excuse me, Mr. Baxter.
Just keep talking, mama. I like that sound.
Sir, why did you decide to leave WOHN?
We'll do a hilarious song clip parody. That's what we'll do for the funeral. Let's play this one.
Know that it's time.
It's timely. It's got that going for it.
Yeah.
I'm not
and
dead
how
yet.
How long have
Come
you
on.
Been working with the radio station?
Longer than.
Okay.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
And how long did you have the crap before you died?
Is that the parody you're going to make?
I love that voice.
Anything else?
Yes, and? Also?
All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Transformers 3 continues its stranglehold in the top 10. $47 million it made this weekend. It's additional dollars, by the way.
More than before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you had a movie that just made $47 million first weekend, it would be good. But, of course, that it made, $1.7 billion in its opening weekend. So
First day. Yeah.
Horrible Bosses, in its debut, came in at number 2, a little over $28 million. Then Inexplicably, Zookeeper came in at number 3. People love seeing talking monkeys.
I didn't see that one. I wanted to, didn't have time.
I can't believe it. Cars 2 was 4th. Bad Teacher came in at number 5. Then Larry Crown, Super 8, Monte Carlo, Green Lantern, and Mr. Popper's Penguins. Running out the top 10. Congratulations to Monica, the R&B singer. Got married to L.A. Lakers point guard Shannon Brown over the weekend. Here in Los Angeles. Now, they were secretly married last November in their home, but this time it was a big party and a big celebration, and they did another. Sometimes people do this, they do a second ceremony for friends and family, and that's what this was. And Kobe was there, Derek Fisher was there, Carmelo Anthony, Lala Vasquez. Everybody showed up. I thought Carmelo Anthony was still in prison. I think he gets out Wednesday for killing his daughter.
No, so that's Casey.
What?
Anthony. Carmelo Anthony actually plays for the Knicks.
Ah. While we're talking about Casey, you may have heard the rumors that Casey Anderson was being offered $1 million by the Jerry Springer producers to appear on the show with her family. Well, producers say that rumor is not true. They have not made any offer to her or her family at all, and have no intentions to do so. So there was a lot of panic at the time. People think she was going to cash in
Someone
on a million-dollar payday.
You people might as well get used to it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. And what a waste of money, because you know she's not going to say what happened, right?
How much more could you possibly hope to get out of her than all the facts that were presented at the trial, really?
And she lied about everything.
She did.
That's why they didn't put her on the stand.
Every time she opened her mouth, she lied. So what kind of interview is it going to be?
Yeah.
Believe me, if you think you're going to pay the $1 million and find out how the child died, you're not.
Well, then I'm not paying the $1 million. I'm going to get my check back.
Taking it back?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to break the news here on the show, but forget it.
All right.
I'll take that $1 million elsewhere.
Probably smart.
I'll probably go to 7-Eleven today. Spend it there instead.
Free Slurpee.
Today is 7-Eleven's Free Slurpee Day, as they celebrate the birthday of 7-Eleven.
I'd go for that.
Go get your brain freeze. You get a free Slurpee between 7
Really? I can't go
and
for
11.
File.
When is that clot going to move?
I know.
Why is it just sitting there in his leg?
Why is it so slow?
When will it go to the heart of the brain? When? Stupid slow clot.
Come on, clot.
Clot.
Speed
come
it
on.
Up. Clot. Get with it.
Clot.
When?
Clot.
When?
Clot.
When?
Clot.
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 Clot. When, clot. When are we talking to the clot?
Will Oprah Winfrey be the host of the next year's, this year's rather, Academy Awards?
No. I hope not.
Apparently.
It's done?
Really?
Oprah's at the top of the list of potential hosts for the Oscars next February.
She's...
Talk about from bad to worse. Can you imagine how dull that would be to have her as the host?
I mean, she would be fine at it, but...
She'd be fine at announcing people's names.
Yeah, that's it.
She's not entertaining.
I know. That's the problem. You don't get any entertainment.
You know, she teased us by saying she was leaving television and going off the air and everything. Yeah. We're gonna get an ass full of her.
Yeah. I want some humor in my presenter.
Yes, you need it, especially with that show.
And we didn't get any last year, so we really need double humor next year.
And congratulations to Dan Aykroyd. Former Ghostbusters star was serving as Grand Marshal for the Honda Indy Toronto race yesterday. However, he had a bit of a trouble because he was stopped by a cop for speeding on the way to the race. No word on exactly how fast he was going, and apparently he was let off with a warning. When he got to the speedway, he told the press conference, "When you see these races, you want to get into your vehicles and drive home. And you do it imitating the driver. That won't be me this afternoon." So he's learned his lesson. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Mindy Sterling of the legendary Groundlings sketch and improv troupe here in Los Angeles was also in Austin Powers.
Yes.
She was, Frau Farbischner? What was her name in that character? That German character she did?
I don't remember.
No. 58 years old today. Actress Celia Ward celebrates her 55th birthday. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi's 52. Actress Lisa Rinna is 48.
Ooh, Bell or no Bell?
I think so.
She didn't get the lips fixed, so she looks better.
Looks are better. Look better.
She's got a good body.
She's a very attractive woman for 48, especially.
Let's say, shall we say yes? Should we go with a yay?
She's been hot for a long time.
Yeah, I think she's earned it. Lifetime.
Yeah.
She's earned it.
Actor Greg Grunberg, our buddy.
Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly of Heroes.
Absolutely.
45 years old today. Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor on Smallville, is 39. And rapper Lil Kim celebrates her 36th birthday. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Breakfast with Incubus is going to be a fantastic time on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's going to be on Wednesday. Us with the guys in the band performing live. Their new record comes out, of course, tomorrow. Tiny Room, big band. You could be there. We got a chance for you to win your tickets coming up later this hour. Also, funny man Jay Moore on the show. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Did you guys see the latest on terrorists and how they're trying to get bombs onto planes? Did you see the big warning?
I heard a little
bit. Yeah, they don't give up, do they?
Surgical implants is the latest. And all the technology that we have can't detect a surgical implant. They can put it in their butt, their stomach, anywhere that you can put it, you know, it fits.
Right.
Right. And they can see something under your clothes. They can't see something under your skin. They can't see your blood and your bones unless they want to start x-raying us at the airport. Or I guess they have some other kind of swab that they can use or something like that that's supposed to be able to detect explosives. I don't know what the deal is, but obviously, you know, I appreciate the fact that the government shares this information with us. But like we always say, once bad news happens, the government shares information, we all panic. So we thought, let's get a leveling voice onto the program here. We got a TSA spokesperson who's joining us. This is going to be Carol Ferris on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ms. Ferris. How are you?
It's Carol Ferris.
Oh,
Carol.
I'm sorry. Mr. Yes. Ferris. I apologize.
No, that's fine. You would not be able to work for the TSA because you cannot identify male from female.
That can go either way, sir.
It's one of those unisex names.
Wait, the name is Carl.
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 Oh,
Ferris.
It says Carol. I'm sorry.
That would be a mistake.
I see. Okay, that's just a typo in my paperwork. Yes. I'm sorry about that, Mr. Ferris.
Okay.
All right. So, as far as you know, this technique of surgically implanting a bomb under the skin has not happened yet. You have not seen an incidence of this, but government intelligence suggests that that's something that Al-Qaeda is working on.
Well, unfortunately, we always have to stay one step ahead of the terrorists.
Right.
And they do tend to try to outwit our detection devices. Uh-huh. And this is one simple way that they could do it.
Yes. Right.
What they could do is put a device under the skin. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the breasts would be the most obvious area, an area where there's already loose skin and a device could be implanted.
Oh, yeah. And okay. There's no way to check for that, is there?
Actually, we are working on a new way to check for that.
Okay, good.
I have developed a system myself that I use here at the Dulles International Airport, where I am an overseer.
Okay.
I will bring along the large-breasted women into a small room where we can take a more advanced look at their breasts.
You alone?
Yes.
Good choice.
It's my technique. I'm the only one who's really an expert at it at this point.
Okay.
So, I thought, though, that going through a security line, it's always a female TSA agent that handles the female passengers, and the same with men.
The women seem to prefer the female agents. However, as I have indicated, I am the only expert of this particular technique.
Okay, what's the technique that you use once you get them in the room?
I call it the motorboat.
The motorboat?
Yeah. Okay. I simply place my face between the breasts.
Right.
And then...
And then you can sense if there's something there?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, there's always a danger the bomb could go off at that point by jiggling the device.
Sure.
But I don't care because my face is buried between two breasts.
Because what a way to go.
Exactly.
Right. Mm. Now, is the plan that you'll be the only one available across the entire country in every airport to do this procedure?
No, I'll train. I will train other TSA.
Can you train us?
sure, I can. I would bring you on, and you would have to witness my operating the technique
right.
400 to 500 times before you actually were able to be certified.
Well, you know, we know what we're doing when it comes to motorboating. We're already skilled.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're a professional.
Well, we're skilled.
Are you?
Sure.
That's not what I've heard.
we've never spoken with you before. You know nothing about us,
yes,
Carl.
I have the internet. I've heard about you, and I've heard what women say about you.
How dare you?
Okay, speaking of what women say, what kind of reaction are you getting from female passengers who are being told at the airport that they're going to get motorboated by the TSA?
Oh, well, I tell them, look, it's you can die in the air, you can blow up on a plane, or you can just let me do this. Mm-hmm. And usually they will take the lesser of two evils.
Are you at an airport now? I hear a lot of noise behind.
I am. I am currently working my shift here.
Okay.
And
you're what?
Working my shift.
Sift? Okay.
Shift.
Okay.
No, shift.
Right. Sift.
It's the length of time in which you work.
Oh, shift.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
I see. Sorry.
So anyway, I'm here, and there's the gentleman. The gentleman here. I'm just quickly giving him the wand.
The wand. All right.
Procedure. No, I'm not interested, Ahmed. Go ahead. You go ahead.
What?
Wait, no, you know, hold on a sec. Check and see why that thing was going off there.
Whatever. He's a guy.
I know, but it was... But guys...
What if he's got some penis implant bomb or something? You think I want to get checking that out?
Yes.
Well, you don't want to send a bomb onto the plane.
Well, I don't want to touch a penis either. Lesser of two evils again. Lesser of two evils.
I think you may be in this for the wrong reason. I'll tell you.
I am a lonely man.
Yeah. Sounds like it. We got a little something called the Afro Line here on the Kevin and Bean Show, where it gives us a chance to hear what you have to say 24 hours a day, even when we're not on the radio. That number is 323-520-AFRO. I wasn't sure if we were still on or not. It looked like there might have been a change in plans. 323-520-AFRO. That is our number. You call us. We play it back on the radio. What are people talking about today?
Well, they're talking about a lot of different things, mostly hate for us. That's what this has become. You know that, right?
Right.
I don't know why exactly, but for some reason, they call, they hate us, and then they hang up. That's just kind of the way things work.
All right.
Here's the first one.
Blackma intolerant? Dude, that is pure comedic gold right there.
All right.
I suspect he was mocking.
A little love? I don't know. I think you should take it. You know what I mean? Just because you didn't get a lot of love for that one. So
no, I didn't.
Take,
so I just say thank you and move on.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
God damn you, Bean. Seriously. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not give you a specific reason as to why? I'm gonna need to give you a specific reason. Just God damn you, Bean.
I'm getting a revolt. We kept saying, "Hey, people, if you're gonna yell at us about something, make sure that we know what it's about." And now they're all getting mad and saying it's about everything. Why don't you just it's about everything.
It's
just
not
know
going
that.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm a little flower. Watch me as I grow into so many little colors. Flowers, flowers. I hate you guys so much.
Do you remember that song?
Yes, I do.
Sure.
I'm a little flower.
Come on.
Watch me.
How many years ago did we play that?
Oh,
and this listener's just now calling with the Afro line. That's fantastic.
But 5 years ago.
But we never played it seriously.
No.
But
we played
it because
it's one of the hookiest songs ever. We played it. We talked to the guy, Mr. Ray, I think was his name, who recorded it at the time. And I can't believe somebody remembered that. That's amazing.
Kevin and Bean, you're about to be double time. Well, a very heavy, there's a heavy flirtation there. Let's go backstage to rid a curve for sure. Double time.
I didn't know that was a term, double time, but
I
well
didn't
done.
Either, but nicely done. But this is a Lisa May love.
Because I may be cheap, but I'm perfectly good at it. That motherfucking wine, so baby, I don't care. I love the taste of it.
Now, I don't know if you can recognize this or not, but you know Rihanna's S&M?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's...
Oh, that's what that is.
Just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Barely.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but Lisa May excites me. Oh, baby, come on, come on, come on. Oh, Lisa, let's get drunk, get drunk, get drunk. I'll lick your butt, don't cut down, cut down, cut down.
All right. Look, is it because there are no American Idol auditions going on for our listeners now that they feel they have to call and sing on the Afro line every day?
Yeah, it certainly could be. This is in reference to our Rage Against the Machine interview last week.
Really, Kevin? You broke up Rage Against the Machine again. They were in 5 minutes and they said, oh, we're never going to play a concert again. God, I hate you. Don't ever talk to Blink again either.
Yeah, that is a good point, because I never heard Rage mention that until they saw Kevin, and then they thought, oh, this is ridiculous.
How
we can't go on.
How dare you?
Hey, I was listening to the podcast this morning, and, you know, I'm a little confused because Rage Against the Machine was on, but, you know, I heard from Kevin that Rise Against the Machine was supposed to be on the show. Where was Rise Against the Machine?
Look, I said Rise Against the Machine, but let's be honest. It's Rage Against the Machine News and Rise Against. Now, for somebody like myself that's on the short bus, it's bound to happen.
Close enough.
So that's what this is.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We just made the announcement of LA Rising, Rise Against the Machine, and Muse, and Rise Against.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So, good times. 323-520-AFRO, if you'd like to call 24 hours a day. If you would like to go to our breakfast with Incubus.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
We're going to take your calls right now, 1-800-520-1067. Unfortunately, you're going to have to sit through Omaroki.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
It could be rough.
That's the most painful thing on radio.
It could be rough, but we're going to make you earn them. It is Wednesday morning, our breakfast with Incubus. If you'd like to play the game, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 636.
Hey! It's all about Incubus this week. They have so much going on with the brand new album, If Not Now, When? Going on sale everywhere tomorrow. Of course, they got their Hollywood Bowl show that went up for sale this past weekend. I am excited about this breakfast at Incubus. I think it's going to be great. We love these guys. They're always a lot of fun. They play brilliantly live. And I love Omar. But I'm trying to figure out how both of these things can go on without Omar singing. Is there any way we can not let Omar sing?
How dare you?
Here's my guess. My guess is we're going to do Omaroki. We're going to let some people into the breakfast. And then someone from the band or their representation is going to hear it and they're going to go,
oh my God, it's the most amazing thing we've ever heard. We need him on stage with Brandon.
We need
yes,
to put that,
that
guy,
is going to happen.
We need to put that guy
thank
on
you very
stage
much.
Sing.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Before we play Omaroki, and this is the game where Omar is going to be singing Incubus songs, and all you, the caller, have to do is identify what they are. If you get them right, by the way, you are in to the breakfast with Incubus on Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, okay? Here's the thing, though, O. Have you at least listened to the songs before? Do you at least know how they're supposed to sound so you can try to copy the melodies to give the listeners a
chance? It's going
to
be you guys are going to feel like Brandon is in the studio. Because I'm just as sexy.
Yeah.
So we know that's right.
Well, that's
you know what I'm
true.
Saying?
That is true.
That is true. I said the smooth silk voice, I mean, it's going to flow through
Look,
me. I'm going to channel Brandon
we're
right now.
We're saying that most of the time when we do a Omaroki, we're looking at the song title and the lyrics, and we don't recognize it.
I don't know. You guys are listening to Big Boy then.
All right. So here we go. It's time for Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, it's as simple as that. Omar sings an Incubus
I don't like
hit.
The tone in your voice, Bean. Seriously.
You tell us what song he's singing. Let's start with Tracy on line one. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We apologize in advance for what you were about to suffer through.
Good morning.
Hi. See if you can identify this song, which Omar will now butcher.
I lay my head onto the sand. The sky resembles a backlit canopy with holes punched in it. I'm counting UFOs. I signal them with my lighter. And in this moment, I am happy. Happy.
All right, Tracy.
Wish you were here.
That is correct. Yes.
See? I lay my head onto the sand.
nicely
just
done.
Like
you don't
that.
Need to keep singing.
I sound just like that.
All right, now
but nothing like that though.
But all like that.
Tracy, you're in the breakfast. We don't have to do a drawing. You're in automatically. We will see you on Wednesday morning.
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Congratulations. Let's go to Brandon, who's on.
Brandon?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, come on.
Are you an incubus?
I am an incubus.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Perfect.
Just call and say what's... Yeah.
I certainly hope you recognize your own song when Omar does it. Most people don't.
Oh my God, right. Me too. I'm drunk right now.
All here right. We go. Here's Omar Roach.
I'm drunk too.
I'm drunk right now.
Meet me in outer space. I will hold you close. If you're afraid of heights, I need you to see this place.
He got it. He got it.
Me in outer
All right, now I'd like to set some ground rules here, and that is if the caller knows it and identifies it, you automatically must stop.
Listen, dude, when I'm in the moment...
You're not flowing.
There's no stopping me, man.
I'm saying when he says stellar, you quit.
Look, Omar is as bad as ever, but these listeners know their incubus, which is very impressive. All right, let's try Roxanne. Roxanne, welcome to Kevin.
Roxanne!
No, we're not doing police giveaways.
The red light!
Okay.
That was a freebie.
That was well done.
I apologize for that, too. You're going to have to suffer. It's going to hurt, but think of it like giving birth. If you can get through this, you'll get a wonderful present at the end, okay?
Okay.
All right. Here's Omar Roach.
I haven't felt the way I feel today in so long. It's hard for me to specify. I'm beginning to notice how much this feels like a waking limb. Pins
hold on,
and needles.
Hold on.
Nice to know you.
Yes.
I'm beginning to notice.
Nicely done.
But Omar did that with no melody
I
at
agree.
All.
No, I agree.
Melody was
flat.
All up in that, man. I don't know what you're listening to.
By the way, 3 for 3. This has never happened before with Omar Roach. I'm shocked by this.
That's true. Let's go to Ashton, who is on line 4. Hi, Ashton.
Hi.
Hey,
good
Ashton.
Morning.
Ashton, let me ask you. What do you think about my singing?
It's amazing.
Thank you.
You
thank
don't
you.
Have to say that.
Thank you. Thank
He's
you.
He's not in charge of
her
the
chances. Just went way up.
Nope. All right. Here's your song. Good luck.
Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be
right.
there.
Stop. Yes, stop.
With open
stop.
Arms
stop.
And open.
She said
yeah.
Dry.
Whatever.
She said dry. She said dry.
Whatever tomorrow brings.
Nicely done. You'll be at the breakfast.
Oh, thank you so much.
Way to go.
That's the most painful Omar Roach I think I've ever heard. I have a headache
best.
Already.
And by the way, they're all getting them.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's it. All right, I think we have time for one more. Let's go to Kalina. Kalissa.
Kalissa.
Hi, Kalissa.
Hi.
That's all a right. beautiful name. You ready to play Omar Roach?
Already.
We all have a weakness, but some of ours are easy to
identify. What's wrong with you people?
Ask for forgiveness.
Nicely done.
Don't you want to hear the goodness? Let me finish.
They're going to hear the goodness on Wednesday morning.
Oh, I'm telling you.
They're going to hear the goodness.
I need to go to that breakfast and at least in company, Brandon.
And you are not welcome at the breakfast.
Why not?
Because of your voice.
How dare you?
So, but thank you, everybody. For playing the game.
Oh, Omar Roach, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We got Muse on the way, also Foo Fighters, some Blur, and yes, the band of the hour, Incubus, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph? How was your weekend, by the
what
way?
How
was
breakfast with Omar, by the way? That's what I want to know. Whatever with the Incubus. I want to spend an hour just listening to Omar sing his greatest hits.
How about that?
Yeah.
How was the podcast Friday night?
Good show Friday night. Sold out, which is always fun. And had a great crew out there, and it went very, very well. That's a funny bit.
That's where you need Omar to come out and sing. He can be your opening act.
He can be the opening act at the podcast?
Yep.
Yeah, we might wait till that's over. it was a great event, and thanks everyone to come out. Saturday. We're doing it again this Saturday at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. You can go to babbleonralph.com to buy your tickets. But this Saturday, the 16th, we'll be doing it again. And then the following weekend, we'll be doing it in San Diego because we'll all be down there for Comic-Con, which is very exciting.
I still can't believe you're tagging along with Kevin and Bean to Comic-Con this year. That still blows my mind. The nerve.
I believe you guys are going.
After all the years you mocked us for going down there.
See,
and, oh, you guys are big geeks. And, oh.
It's the opposite of exactly what the real truth is.
You would think he would be embarrassed, right, Bean?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, talk about being late to the party, Ralph. Jeez, have you no shame?
You're some weak ass. I can't wait for that clot to bust loose out of your calf. By the way, new edition.
New edition?
Is going to be Comic-Con?
You know already, I'm hosting the Dexter panel and the 45th anniversary of the Batman 1966 TV series panel.
Right,
right.
Found awesome. Out the end of last week, also hosting the Amazing Spider-Man panel for the new Spider-Man movie.
This is what happens. Ralph starts.
Emma Stone will be there. Oh.
Does she need security? Does she need security?
You know, Emma Stone said the one woman she's attracted to, she's not a lesbian, but if she was, Christina Hendricks would be her choice for Mad Men. I am just one piece away from a threesome with Emma Stone and Christina Hendricks.
It's a pretty
Hendricks.
Big piece.
That's Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a busty girl. I'm just saying it could happen in San Diego.
I'm saying it.
What
can't.
Happens in San Diego stays in San Diego. That's you know that.
Their slogan. All right, I should know this being a 20-year Comic-Con veteran, but do they videotape those panels and make them available after the fact, Ralph?
No, they don't. 20-year Comic-Con veteran?
Really? It's just one time. If you're not there live, you don't ever get to see
That's
it?
The magic of it. That's why people want to go, because they get to participate in something that is sort of limited edition. Hmm. You know, you're there and you know, sometimes people will surreptitiously tape and stuff.
Yeah,
you're not
right.
supposed to.
Cell phone. Yeah. I'd love to see the Batman panel you're doing. That sounds awesome.
Well, you'll be there.
Well, turns out you'll be there.
Turns out you'll be in San Diego to do the show there. So just come.
People.
Then don't talk to us about how you want to be there.
I want to see it, but
yeah,
not necessarily.
I know, but you're wasting our time unless you're going to actually
go. Because
you
don't really want to see it.
Right.
Because sometimes when people want to see things, they go and see them.
That's their response to one thing.
Technique some people use.
I like things in person. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I'll act it out for you next time I see you. That's what I'll do. So that Adam West said, so there we were on the set. And then Burt Ward said, holy shooting schedules. I'll tell you all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Transformers 3. Number one at the box office. Yet again, $47 million made it number one. Then Horrible Bosses, in its debut, made $28.1 million. Zookeeper was third. The new Kevin James movie made $21 million. Cars 2 was fourth. Bad Teacher was fifth. Larry Crown, Super 8, Monte Carlo, Green Lantern, and Mr. Popper's Penguins rounding out the top 10 at the box office already. You know, they've announced they're making a Green Lantern 2.
Right.
Despite the lackluster box office of the first one, Warner Brothers has announced they are going to put Green Lantern 2 on the slate, so... Look, sometimes franchises get better as the movies move along.
Sure,
you know?
That's true.
So
let's hope.
Let's hope. We'll see.
That's the only direction available for this movie.
No, it wasn't that bad. Please, you of all people, can't say that movie was that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Given your track record, my friend.
All right,
you've seen far worse recently, Kevin.
I would just like to say I have enjoyed way more movies than you guys in my lifetime too.
That's
so
true.
That's the upside.
Yes. Well, you know, it's like the guy who's brain damaged. When he goes to the zoo, it's like eternal childhood. He's always happy to pet the llamas and feed them grain from his hand, you know? The rest of us, we outgrow it. That's all. It must be nice to be a child forever.
It is, actually.
Great music story this morning. The band called Coheed and Cambria. I don't know if you're familiar with this band.
Sure.
They were set to open for Soundgarden this weekend. But they had a little bit of a speed bump, a little bit of a snafu. Their bassist, Michael Todd, was arrested for armed robbery after he held up a Walgreens just before the show, claiming he had a bomb.
Yeah, that's a strange thing for a guy to do just before he plays a show.
Not when you think about what he was asking for. He went to the pharmacy and said he had a bomb and demanded all the OxyContin that they had.
Ah.
Made off with six bottles of OxyContin and fled in a taxi.
Does anybody have any drugs? So, I'm looking to score some drugs.
He had to get loaded before the performance. Turns out police spotted him in the cab, were able to track it via the dispatcher, and then showed up at the Comcast Center where they were set to open and arrested him. So you can't play without your bases.
Did one of the policemen step in and just grab the bass?
Yeah, he did.
All right,
awesome.
That's nice.
They were like the village people. The cop was playing bass on stage. More music news. The Black Eyed Peas are going on an indefinite hiatus, they say.
Yeah! Oh, say that's not so.
Oh, I'm so sad. How are they going to get started if they stop? I'm just saying.
File.
Go ahead and just take it back now and save yourself the embarrassment of waiting for us to do. Would you like to take that back?
File it is.
They told a audience in Staffordshire, England, earlier this week that they won't be back in England for a very long time.
They didn't have a very good feeling that it was going to be a good night.
Okay, both of you in the other room.
Now you know what it feels like, Bean. Thanks. We won't be back for a long time. I want to thank you for all your support. And so they're going on a break. You know, they went on a similar one in 2005, where they didn't start working again until 2009.
Yeah, didn't last long enough, that break.
But I don't understand why you hate them so much.
I don't
much.
Either.
They're the worst.
They're not the worst.
Just
please.
Ridiculous collection of CDs you purchase on a weekly level. The new Barry Manilow and all this crap. I can't see how you could hate them that much. There's so much worse music out there.
I think they're one
of
the worst bands ever.
That's ridiculous.
Their songs are horrible. Their production is horrible. Their singing is horrible. Everything's horrible about that band.
They're catchy. Look, they don't have a lot of depth. They're, you know, they're not a significant artist.
I like pop music. I mean, believe me. But I'd rather listen to the new Britney album than anything from the Black Eyed Peas. I mean, they're just terrible.
Yeah. Neither Ralph or I would hold them up as great, but they're not that bad. Come on.
There's so much worse music going away. Out there.
So they're not having the time of their life? Is that what you guys are telling me?
Oh. God. Boy, have you heard that version? That might be the worst version, cover version of any song ever, by the way.
That's just the latest in a long line of the worst songs ever from that band.
That song is ass to begin with.
It's like, what are you doing?
I'm Chris Hansen. And I work for Dateline NBC, and I'm banging a girl 20 years younger than I am.
Uh-oh. Not underage. Please tell me not underage.
No. Okay, wow. Now, we talked about this last week. He got caught having an affair with a 30-year-old reporter in Palm Beach, Florida. He's got a wife at home and two kids in Connecticut.
Ooh.
But the thing is, it's all caught on hidden camera. They have all this footage of him doing it.
If you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
It is just ripe with ironic potential there. Turns out, this may be hurting his career.
Really?
He was supposed to take over the anchor desk at Dateline NBC. That was NBC's projection. Now, the New York Post is reporting that the big wigs in NBC News have decided to hold off on that move.
Let's wait a second and see how this plays out.
May not want to put Chris behind the desk while he is still embroiled in this alleged cheating scandal. So
did you bring condoms with you?
That's what he kept asking her.
You know what I never heard, Ralph? And maybe you followed this, because this broke while we were on vacation, but I'm sure you talked about it a lot on the Babylon.
Yes.
Is his wife leaving him? I mean, have we heard? Is this going to break them up?
No word from his camp nor anyone from his family.
Oh, we have word from his camp.
I can't control my horny level.
That's what he said. We're in Palm Beach, Florida. That was the problem. His horny level was through the roof.
What's a horny level?
It's how horny you are.
I know, but
it comes on the hornometer. They get this little device out.
Say it.
They just plug it into your penis, and then you're able to read your horny level. Sometimes you have to get those boosted. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm horny for you.
All right, Chris. That's what got you in trouble in the first place. Greg Grunberg is 45 years old today. You know him from Heroes and Lost. He was a pilot.
He was a pilot
in Lost.
First episode.
Where was he in Super 8, Ralph?
I don't know. Because JJ usually does put him in everything he does. It's sort of a good luck charm. He was in Star Trek, I think it was like a voiceover or something,
in
one of the computers. So maybe he's buried in there someplace. Lisa Rinna also celebrates her birthday today. She's 48. Scott Schreiner of Weezer is 46. Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor in Smallville for many seasons, is 39. Lil' Kim turns 36. Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie is 35 years old today. Cilla Ward celebrates her 55th birthday, and actress Mindy Sterling is 58. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of that band right there, Muse, stick around for your chance to win tickets for L.A. Rising. A lot of reasons to go to KevinBean.com right now, too, I wanted to mention. Dave Grohl gives an interview as to why he thinks technology is destroying music. That's up at KevinBean.com right now. You can also see a photo gallery of my girlfriend Rachel Nichols from the upcoming Conan the Barbarian movie and her new Maxim photo layout. And also Lick Lisa from last week, intern Santana, who's so hot, by the way. Why didn't you guys tell me?
Yeah, we did.
I think we did.
Why didn't you guys tell me how hot she is?
We told you that a lot of times.
Super hot.
Yeah.
She was kind of licking on Lisa, so you can see those pictures, too. All available for you at KevinBean.com.
And by the way, also, I'm working on a post, and I know most people are going to get put to sleep by these words, Women's World Cup. But the game yesterday was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. So anyway, I'm going to put a post about that as well soon.
All right.
Let's talk to Beer Mugs first, though. Beer Mugs. You poor bastard.
This is a mess.
Muggs is the guy who's in the studio with us. He has taken Psycho Mike's place.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is a hard position to take, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I'm nearly not attractive as him. Not as attractive.
We are, look, believe me, Bugs, you don't need, that goes without saying, we are all poorer for the switch out. Yeah. There's no question about
serious.
That.
Serious.
But the reason we need to talk to Mug, and I think the reason we need the audience's help, the reason we're going to need you to listen to this conversation and then call in and tell Muggs what's up, is because he is blinded by love and he can't see what's happening in his own relationship. Beer Mug has a girlfriend who we know and love, and I'm very sad to see them break up because I thought they were a terrific couple.
We haven't broken up yet.
You're with me, right, Kevin? You were happy to see them together because
yeah,
they're both
so.
Great people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, she left him, though, unfortunately. He doesn't realize it yet. But the way she left him was by saying these words. Hey, I'm going to Europe with 9 dudes. Okay? That's how he got the word. I'm going to Europe with 9 dudes.
So she's going to Europe. She takes a trip for how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. 9 guys, one of which Beer Mug knows. 8 of which he doesn't know anything about. Okay? So we say, just in passing last week, Bean just threw out, you know she's sleeping with at least 4 to 5 of those guys, right? And Muggs goes, nuh-uh. And Bean said, what are you talking about? He said, she told me she wasn't.
She's not the cheating kind.
Look,
right.
Look.
No one's the cheating kind until they get to Europe and they're drinking all the time and they're on vacation and
right.
It's exciting and it's romantic and it's exotic and you've got all these guy friends around and you're lonely and your boyfriend is 5,000 miles away. I mean, I feel like I'm in the Casey Anthony case here. I mean, you see the chloroform search and you find the chloroform in the trunk and you find the body in the woods. You still can't put 2 and 2 together that the murder happened though, Muggs.
I would be lying if I didn't tell you guys that. The skepticism did not come into play.
Okay,
right at the beginning when she told me.
Right,
because if I told her I was leaving anywhere with one girl, let alone
of course.
9 girls, she would lose her S.
Okay, there's a double standard. That's a conversation for another time. Okay,
yes,
you're right, but that's a conversation for another time.
Right,
so she's going to Europe with 9 guys.
Right.
Now you don't know 8 of them, and you don't know anyone else in Europe.
Right.
Okay, so out of all the guys in Europe, there might be a guy, say, for example, who's never been to America, who doesn't speak English, doesn't care, doesn't ever want to come to America.
Right.
What's the downside of hitting that once? You know what I mean? Like, there's no downside.
There is no downside
right.
for her. But we have the discussion, Kevin. We have.
I said, know look, you did. I said, and now we're having another one.
Right.
Now we're having one that preempts the first conversation.
You're talking addendum. About intentions.
Right.
We're talking about reality.
Reality.
Of being there.
We're talking about being in Spain, drinking heavily, partying for 2 weeks.
I did that exact same thing, and let me tell you. Stuff happened.
worked your way through, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That's right.
How could you not? No one would blame you. That's what vacations in Europe are all about.
You line them up and you knock them down. That's how it works.
First
we're trying
all.
To convince Muggs that this is happening, and he's like, no.
It's not. Spanish guys, first of all, they have lisps. So I'm not going
to. 100% of them
yes,
do?
Yes, they all
that's
do.
That's actually
all...
the language, Megs. They don't have lisps.
No, they have lisps.
That's how they pronounce certain words.
And if I am going to be beat out by a guy with a lisp, then I'm just hopeless.
Let me tell you. You'd be surprised. It's pretty damn sexy.
I bet it is.
Just
I bet
really
it's exotic and foreign.
You're
look,
stupid for
even,
saying
even
that,
if,
Muggs,
even
because...
if she never left the hotel room, she's got there's plenty of penis in the room with her beyond what's outside the room.
Oh, we didn't ask that. How many rooms do they have?
Just one.
That's a good question. I did not.
You didn't ask.
Well, she said she was
10 people, one girl.
I know there's a hostel involved, but I don't know how many rooms in that hostel.
Okay.
Let's do it this way.
But she's not cheating.
We do want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you can envision a... Well, I won't even put words in your mouth. You tell us what you think the likelihood is that Mug's girlfriend is having sex with somebody, foreign or American, if she's in Europe for 2 weeks on vacation with 9 guys. Muggs, I'd like to get your percentage on what you think the likelihood is of cheating going on. Now, be honest. I know that in your brain you want it to be 0% because you guys have been together for, what, 3-4 years or something like that? And you had the conversation.
Out of that and 3 or 4 years, maybe a year and a half has been broken up.
Not true.
Like daily.
What do you think, honestly, the percentage is that cheating's going on?
I would say maybe 0.2%.
0.2? it was more than that on the airplane on the way over there.
Wait, 20%?
No.
Point two.
And let me tell you guys, if I went away on a trip, I don't want to sound like a douche, but I probably would be more likely to cheat than she would.
Okay, but here's the difference. You wouldn't have the options.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference.
That
is
true.
You go over to Europe, and they look at you, and they go, no.
But all European women love the mugs.
But then they look at your girlfriend, and they go, and they all go, yes, yes, yes.
Then they go, CCC is what they go.
So I'm just saying, you're not going to have the opportunity, even though you might. She's going to have it offered daily by guys that demolish you. And by the way, would demolish me as well. I'm not putting myself above you. I'm saying just understand what's going on.
Lisa, what's your percentage? You've been in that situation.
Oh, my gosh. At least 50%.
It would be very difficult to not have sex in that scenario,
however
right?
However you picture Spanish guys, there's the range. If you like dark, swarthy type, there's that type. But there's also like blue eyes, blonde hair type. It's amazing.
There's great of every single
Hello, country. She obviously likes the white boy. Come on, guys.
Yeah, there's
white
boys. She's got nine of those, too, though.
She has those that she brought with her, just in case. Right? So in case there's not one of however many people are in Spain that are better looking than you, by the way, which is a pretty high percentage.
Nope.
And me, too. But she's got the homegrown brought with her. You don't know eight of them.
It's not just
that they're better looking. No one is saying that she's throwing you over because she wants a relationship with one of these guys. I'm talking about how Stella got her groove back, vacation sex. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that she doesn't still love you. She doesn't still want to. Well, that was the plot of the movie. I'm not saying that she doesn't. She won't come back and want to have the relationship going, you know, fine again. And she'll keep it a dark, dirty secret her whole life. I'm just saying it's happening, and you need to wrap your head around it.
Once she's had the mugs, she's never doing anything else. Okay.
Let's talk to Paul.
60%.
Let's talk to Paul first because Paul has a pretty good thought that we hadn't even brought up yet. And then we're going to take a break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Paul.
What's up? You know, at least three guys try to tap that. Okay. You know that.
Right. So, now, that's the thing. Is she brought nine guys.
Right.
You know they got her drunk.
And all nine of them look at your girlfriend who's hot and say, I'd like to get me a piece. All nine of them. He's saying three to be nice.
I'm not counting that out.
There's a lot of holes to fill. You know what I mean?
Okay. I don't know that we need to get
it. He's talking about her schedule.
Yeah. She's got a lot of time off because she's not working.
Right,
I understand.
Right, okay. Right.
All right. So, Paul, you think there's what percentage? Oh, he's gone now. It sounded like he was at 100%, though. Listen, we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think is going on with Beer Mug's girlfriend? And I'd especially like to hear, we'll make sure to keep a couple lines open, if you're a woman like Lisa May who's been on vacation in this situation, you've gone to Europe for a week or two.
And you can call without telling us your name. You can,
sure.
Absolutely,
if,
yeah.
If you need to, yeah.
We want Muggs to hear it now rather than hear it when she gets back. That's all.
It's not
he needs to
happen.
Prepare himself for it.
Didn't happen. She told me herself.
That's what you prefer.
How many
to
times
believe.
You talked to her this weekend, Muggs?
I couldn't get a hold of her this weekend. Just
you know why? Hands and mouthful.
Airtight.
Well, I'm talking about the eating, food, her schedule. What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
You have a dirty mind
I'm so
today.
Sorry.
Lisa. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Beer Mug, we're taking phone calls and getting emails and, of course, the Kevin Bean Facebook page from listeners with their thoughts on how likely it is that your girlfriend is cheating. She went to Europe with nine guys, and she's in Europe. Not only the nine guys she took with her, but she's also in Europe, and she's drinking and she's partying, and you can't get her on the phone. Kevin and I are just saying 100% deal with it. Here's what some of the listeners have said in the email, then we'll go to the phones. Neri writes in, has Beer Mug never seen an episode of The Real World? There's always a girl that has a boyfriend that says she'll never cheat and ends up hooking with a roommate.
Yeah, but my girlfriend's not in The Real World. She
William writes in. William writes in. You know she woke up with an Amtrak sticker on her forehead. They totally ran a train on her.
Come on.
Which I'm sorry to say is possibly true. So
Amtrak sticker.
Let's take some phone calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try. What do you think? Let's try Sonia. How about Sonia on line five? She's a woman. She knows what it's like to go on vacation. She knows about the temptation of Europe. Hi, Sonia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think?
I say 90%.
90% cheating.
Oh, yeah. I actually went to Spain when I was 18, and I wasn't in a relationship, but all these
Spanish guys know how to get a girl. And
hello, how are you doing?
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Okay, so Sonia, your point is she could have gone with the best of intentions.
For sure.
But once you start drinking and all of the men in Spain want you, which is the case, along with the 9 guys that you brought.
Exactly. And you know what? Why else is she going? She's going to party. And
absolutely.
She is going to party.
She's going. She went because she's a really big fan of Ernest Hemingway. The Sun Also Rises.
Right.
She wanted to go run with the bulls. She wanted to check out Pamplona. That's why she's going.
And
she's
getting party at home. Do you know what they do at the running of the bulls?
Yeah, they drink
heavily.
Yeah, she has to do that here.
Heavily.
Run with a bull. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know that she can drink here, but it doesn't mean she's not drinking there. Yeah.
Sonia, you're absolutely right. Thank God Beer Mug is hearing it from somebody other than us, because for whatever reason, he doesn't believe us, but thank you for the call. Here's Kevin from Marina Del Rey emailing in. Here's the entirety of Beer Mug's girlfriend's Spanish sightseeing, the ceiling and the pillow. So I think you can see what's going on. Let's try Brian. He is on line 6. Brian, what's going on in Beer Mug's girlfriend's mind right now?
She's just thinking right now, I'm going to get away with totally like just banging all those 9 dudes.
All 9. Well, see, now here's the thing. The 9 are coming back with her, so that might not be quite so safe, but then there's every man in Spain on top of that.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
maybe
the 9 guys she might try to steer clear of. But here's the other thing.
I doubt that, by the way.
Here's the other thing that we know. She's attractive, so all 9 guys want this to happen. No
yes,
question.
They do.
Give us that.
Right.
Okay. All men in Spain want this to happen.
I have not discounted that.
Okay. All men that she comes in contact want to have sex with her.
Right. Unless she's raped, it's not happening.
She's totally getting tapped.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right about that.
Knowing nobody would ever force anything on her. She would kick their asses.
Right.
So that's safe. But I'm saying they're all interested.
I think you guys are forgetting one thing. I mean, if she really had an urge... What about going solo?
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
Oh, you poor bastard. She's not going to have a day off to go solo.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, thank you for the call, by the way,
sad.
Brian. And Lisa, and let me help me out here, because you've been through this exact same experience as Beer Mug's girlfriend. Even if you have a boyfriend back home, it's exciting vacation sex, and it doesn't really count if it's in Europe, right? That's not even cheating, right?
But that's the
total
law.
Total pass.
That's
it's a total pass, absolutely. Art writes in, I went on a similar tour of Europe when it was 50 people, 38 women and 12 men. Can you say bang fest? I hooked up with an Australian girl who had a boyfriend for 3 years. Good times, great sex. Sorry, Mug, it's happening. I mean, I don't want to say it's unanimous, by the way. Have we found anyone who says that it's not happening?
We have 2 calls on hold that say that they went and it didn't happen. But I'm going to suggest to you that those 2 didn't have all the options that your girlfriend does.
Let's talk to them. How about that?
No. I don't think we need to. I think
we don't want to cloud the waters, Bugs. Right. We don't want to get in the way of the truth.
We're just saying, A, prepare yourself, and B, and this is my honest advice to you, it's all right because she'll never see him again. Don't worry about it.
All right, she's banging, guys.
Thank you.
So what's the deal? Somebody works in the building. We got a death pool. What's happening?
Well,
I don't even.
You know how the receptionist is the first person that everybody sees when they walk into the building?
Mm-hmm.
That's the face of your company, your receptionist.
Well, we've had many, many different receptionists, and they move on. They try to, you know, move up the ladder and go into sales or promotions or some other job. And so we have to hire new receptionists all the time. The latest reception that we got is, she was nice at the beginning.
Very nice.
Not very nice.
No, well,
passably nice.
Yeah.
So
okay.
When you walk out, you go, okay, see you later. And she'd go, okay. Or I'll see you. Just a little.
She did respond.
A little something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
she was cordial, but not friendly.
Over the last 2 months, it's gotten less and less, though. Like, now she'll just go, And then, you know, so I've been stepping it up because I think maybe it's just me that's annoying her. So I step it up and I go, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Just to try to get some kind of reaction.
Sure.
And this is what I hear.
Well, what do you think is going on?
I don't know, but I think we need to put her on suicide watch because...
Does she seem depressed or does she seem preoccupied?
No.
Just busy?
Does
she look sad?
Well, we have her on the line if you want to talk to her, but yeah, she seems very sad.
She does.
Really does. It's not like she's got a smile and she nods even. She won't even make eye contact.
Yeah.
And now, as of late, it's like you're not there.
I think she's just had it with us.
That could be.
That is weird for a coworker. All right, so Margo, I guess, joins us on the phone right now, receptionist here in the building. Hi, Margo.
What?
Well, we're a little concerned because...
It's Kevin and Bean. You know who we are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The morning show? We're on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a little concerned because it seems like you're a little upset all the time.
Hold on.
Okay, sir.
What?
Well, I think you should say the radio station name.
Hello?
Margo?
They hung up.
Yeah.
They hung up or you hung up?
I did.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I don't think you should answer the phone, what? I mean, did they teach you to say what?
I'm not like the way you do your job either, but I don't come in there and tell you.
No, I don't blame you, but I'm just...
You're not very good at your job.
I agree.
Okay, then.
I'm not holding myself up.
We both agree you're not very good at your job.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. But are you really, really upset about something, or is it us?
No.
Is it something upset. Somebody said or did that turned you off on this job? Because it seemed like you were enjoying it more a few months ago.
What?
Don't you shouldn't...
No.
No what?
None of your business. It wasn't your phone call.
Well, I know, but what did they ask for? I'm just curious.
Not your business.
Okay, all right.
All right, what happened to turn that frown upside down? What's going on here? Or the smile upside down, however that works.
Certainly not to frown.
Maybe I've been listening to your show.
Yeah.
Oh.
But don't do that, then. I mean, if that's bumming you out, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Don't say what.
What?
No.
I agree. They're not very funny, but the only morning show we have.
Okay, but...
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yes, you get a lot of those calls?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, maybe that's it. Okay. Complaint calls.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
All right, let me just throw this out there, Margo, and I don't know if we've met. This is Bean speaking.
I don't even know if we've met.
Even if you're having a bad day, when you're at work, you put on a little bit of a happy face and you're at least pleasant to your coworkers. I have to do it, Lord knows. You can do it.
Uh-huh.
You just fake it. You just like
you fake it. Yeah.
I mean, would it kill you to say "Have a nice day"?
I don't know.
Or good morning, or good afternoon.
You're not willing to take the risk. Okay. But all of us, including I think Ralph, and I mean pretty much everybody on the morning show, will walk by and say goodbye or have a nice day or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you respond to any of us?
No.
No. Do you respond to anyone else that works in this building, or is it just us? You're tired of the questions. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
Did we call it a bad time?
It just seems like...
I don't see how that's any of your business.
Well, it just seems like...
Well, we have to, you know, interact with you, and...
And you're the first person...
You are
person,
sort of the face of the company.
Right, when people walk in...
Or call.
And you're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're not happy, maybe you should look for another...
Hold on, shut up.
All
right. Shut up. Oh, my God.
What?
I know. Well, there are other stations. Listen to one of them.
No, don't tell people that. We need all the help we can get.
I'm talking on the phone.
I know, but I'm saying...
Can you shut up?
Okay, all right. But I'm saying don't tell people that.
I'm still on the phone.
All the help we get.
Hello?
Yeah. This is rough.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Do you need...
Okay, bye. Thank you. Okay, bye. Okay.
Oh, hey.
Yes, all right.
Someone made her laugh.
Hey, she laughed.
Okay.
What was that? Wait.
Okay.
This is better.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Wait, what's
thank
this?
What's going on, Margo?
That's Ryan Seacrest.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph Garman.
Jay Moore now is one of us, you know.
What does that mean?
Oh, he's a smodcaster.
He's come over.
Oh, that's
to the
right.
Smodcast Network. The ever-growing Smodcast Network of superstars. We're going to crush you one day. We're going to crush you.
Crush us personally?
Yes.
All right, good.
We're going to dominate the Kevin and Bean Show and all the airwaves.
Good luck.
With the Smodcast! Jay's podcast went to number one first week out of the shoot. Not too shabby.
Yeah. I downloaded it. Is that all right? Or am I supposed to listen to it as well?
Once you, after you, the download is the first step. Okay. And then you turn it on, you play it, and you listen to it.
Yes. I haven't done that yet.
Some people do it that
way.
Okay. I'm so grateful we live in the age of the podcast, Ralph. Podcasts like yours that are not on terrestrial radio. Podcasts like ours that are. And we have thousands of people every day who are listening to ours around the world, which is great. I mean, it's just so awesome to have something that's portable and on your schedule.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. Amazing technology.
The only thing you don't get in the podcast is the chance to win...
Captain America world premiere tickets.
Oh, you must be so excited.
Captain America.
You were this excited about Green Lantern, too, though, remember?
Yes.
And I didn't hate Green Lantern, like a lot of people did. I enjoyed it. It was a goof. It was fun. It was fun to me. But Captain America looks like it's going to be a really good movie.
Does look good.
Above just the comic book fun of it. Which, you know, if you make a comic book movie, it's like making one of those action-adventure films. There is a certain base level of enjoyment you're going to get out of it just for the fact, if you're a comic book fan especially, just seeing one of your favorite heroes come to life on the screen with the costume and everything else, that has a certain amount of
sure
fun factor for comic book fans. So you can always have that.
Sure.
But then if you add on top of it, it ends up being like an Iron Man or a Dark Knight or something like that, where it's a really good film on top of it. It's just exceptional. And this looks to be the latter. I cannot wait for Captain America. I've been waiting for a long time, and I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the First Avenger. Happens at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood Tuesday, July the 19th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, July the 22nd. I think it's going to be a smash hit. It's going to be opening up when we're down at Comic-Con.
Ah, that's going to be easy to find a theater to see at Comic-Con.
Good luck. Good luck getting to a theater anywhere in the greater San Diego area when that movie comes to screens. I want to give it away to a real fan, though. So here's the first trivia question this week. I'll be giving away tickets all week for Captain America, the First Avenger. Here's your trivia question. A lot of people, because Captain America is one of the stars of the Marvel comic book universe,
right,
automatically assume that Stan Lee created Captain America. Like he did
everything else.
Everything else. Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four, X-Men. However, Stan did not create Captain America. Give me the name of the two gentlemen responsible for giving us Captain America in 1941. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you know the two creators of Captain America.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
Yeah, that is not one of the creators. I think he created Hulk, though.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I think that's right. Yeah.
While we're talking about movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, Transformers 3. For example, that's a perfect example, the Transformers films. You may not love those films, but if you go into them, you're going to get a certain amount of satisfaction just out of seeing the special effects and the action that's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not good enough for me for 3 hours.
It was good enough for me.
But it is good enough for people like Kevin. Kevin will probably go again because he forgets after he sees the movie anyway, so it's like seeing it fresh for the first time.
Kevin, why did that movie have to be over 2.5 hours
long? It didn't. It was too long, but I'll go again. But it was, like, you are sitting there going, man, did they start it again, or am I still in the same movie? You do reach that point.
That's not a good sign either. You can't tell whether they're just looping the same scenes or whether there's some narrative through line.
But the beginning of the movie seems like a different movie. You know,
because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a story, Ralph, maybe you saw it, that Michael Bay really did use some of the footage from some other movie in Transformers 3? Like,
he reworked the scene. Yeah, he actually used some of the footage.
Look, that's just lazy, right?
A lot of those machines are interchangeable. It's hard to tell who's who. $47 million made it this weekend's number one movie at the box office. Horrible Bosses, the new comedy starring Jason Bateman.
I'm sorry, Ralph, can I just butt in? You know who's the worst? You know what's the worst part of Transformers? Buzz Aldrin. He was the worst.
Yeah.
That guy killed it.
They should have made a machine.
What a terror.
It looked like Buzz.
How does a guy walk on the moon and bore the rest of us to death?
Well, forgive him for not being an actor and only being an American hero, Kevin. Yeah.
American Zero.
Yes.
Ha! Bam!
And I'm Buzz. Hey, I'm Buzz. Hey.
Buzz.
Hey, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, why don't you come get on my lunar lander? You know what I'm saying?
It's terrible.
Buzz.
Creepy old fart. Horrible Bosses, the new Jason Bateman comedy, debuted at $28 million, making it number two for the week. Then Zookeeper. He sure does take that gorilla to Fridays. Sure happens in that movie. Cars 2, Bad Teacher. That's your top five. Then Larry Crown's Super 8, Monte Carlo. I want to say Monte Cristo every time I read this list. I guess I must be hungry. I'm at one of those sandwiches. Green Lantern is ninth, and then Mr. Popper's Penguins came in at number 10. This is a great story. Nadia Suhlman, perhaps you know her better as Octomom, was on a flight over the weekend from New York City to Los Angeles.
And sitting near here.
She had pretty much taken over the entire business class with her eight kids, eight two-year-olds, in business class, and they're just running roughshod all over the airplane there. But the thing
is, let's remember, she has six more at home. She's traveling with those eight, right?
Yeah, right. The plane was delayed, taking off 2 hours.
Oh.
So now you're stuck in a fuselage with eight screaming two-year-olds and Nadia Suleman. Finally, someone went nuts, and that person was Kristen Johnston of Third Rock from the Sun.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. She apparently couldn't take it anymore, came out of first class, and just started going at Nadia, saying, "Would you please control your children? Please keep the noise down. No one can bear it any longer." Nadia Suleman apparently snapped back, "How would you like me to keep 8 2-year-olds quiet?" Kristen Johnston responded, "Get more help." Then got off the plane and took a different flight to Los Angeles.
Sweet.
She left the flight. However, my favorite part of the story is Nadia's comeback to her. If she said, "Get more help," she said, "Why don't you grow a baby and get a life?" Yeah, burn.
What?
What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
No one knows.
Nadia can argue that she is better at having babies than anyone else, though, at least.
That's true.
But not controlling them.
Not raising them.
Just, by the way, it's nobody else's responsibility to keep them quiet, so don't ask us for our advice. You're the one that had them.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
She told TMZ that she didn't know that Kristen Johnston was famous at the time they had the argument. Like it matters.
Yeah.
But she's added, "I guess some people just don't like kids." No, they don't like kids that are jumping around like rhesus monkeys all over the cockpit. It's your cockpit that got you into this trouble first.
Apparently they were on, I think, the Today Show last week and ran Buck Wild on that set, too. She couldn't control them all.
The thing was, on
tie them all together.
On the Today Show, one of the kids is running around the stage and takes a header, goes over this piece of set and just falls face first into the floor. And Ann Curry, who's doing the interview, was the one who got up and helped the kid up and took care of the kid.
Nadia didn't
know.
Worse things have happened. I don't care.
This is why they won't sell me a sniper's rifle. I'm telling you, people. They know what I'm up to. They know what I'm up against. And Daniel Radcliffe's co-star in the Harry Potter movie series, which, of course, is coming to a close this weekend.
That's
the last
right.
Harry Potter film. Rupert Grint said, unlike Daniel, he has no plans to stop drinking. God bless Rupert Grint. When I watched that movie, I knew he was the good one. He said he is a bit of a lightweight. It doesn't take too much to get him loaded, but he said he enjoys it. And he will continue to drink even though he's, and I quote, lost a number of belongings thanks to too many cocktails. Sounds like Kevin.
How dare you?
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
I lose stuff when I'm not drunk, Ralph. You know
that's
that.
True.
We do. We have Kevin.
Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Kevin, this is your chance to undo all the damage our Kevin has done to the name by showing that you know stuff. Who created Captain America?
Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Simon and Kirby, of course. Yay! Legendary Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Kevin, are a nerd.
Jack Kirby, one of the greatest comic book.
I take it as a compliment, thanks.
Greatest comic book
artists of all time. Okay. Yeah, Jack Kirby was one of the best.
All right.
We don't have time for the Captain America theme here, but we'll play it. We'll play the next hour. I got more tickets to give. Oh, it's great. Oh. It's great. Come on.
Is
when
it?
Captain America throws his mighty shield. You don't remember that cartoon?
No, but.
All right, now we have to play
I like
now because
sound.
I love it.
All right.
Here we go.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through.
That is the worst.
The best.
That is the worst sound I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's from a bootleg cartoon from the 60s, for God's sakes. We did the best we could, but I love that song.
That's pretty strong.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lil' Kim is 36 years old today. Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville is 39. Greg Grunberg celebrates his 45th birthday. Justin Chambers from Grey's Anatomy is 41. Scott Schreiner of Weezer turns 46. Lisa Rinna is 48 years old today. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi turns 52. Celia Ward is 55. And Peter Murphy of Bauhaus celebrates his 54th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com later on this hour. And Kevin is going to tell us coming up in a couple of minutes why he is either the worst or the best poker player we know. I haven't figured out which way that story is going to go yet. But apparently you were in the World Series of Poker, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
I can tip my hand on that one. I'm not the
best.
Not the best.
Because you're still here working this crummy job.
Not the best.
First, though, who's funnier than our friend Jay Moore? Seriously, come on.
Who's funnier than Jay?
No one. Nope. Absolutely. Jay Moore appearing at the Brea Improv, downtown Brea. Go to improv.com Thursday through Sunday. And, of course, he has the number one comedy podcast in the world through smodcast.com called Moore Stories. Hey, Jay, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hiya, boys. Looking good. I got to correct you, though. It's the number one downloaded podcast. It's not in comedy. Like, I beat NPR.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
Dude. It was pretty crazy. Hi, Lisa. What's up, girl?
Hi. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm going to get you pregnant.
What are you giving away? Crack cocaine on the podcast? Every downloader? What's happening? How did that happen?
Kevin, it's the perfect relationship. I can't stop talking.
Yeah.
Apparently people like to hear me talk.
That's true. Both are true.
I never shut up, and here's free me not shutting up content. It's free.
Yeah.
This was only a matter of time before this happened. And a lot of our comedian friends, like Bill Burr and a lot of those guys, Joe Rogan. I mean, a lot of them have the podcast, and they love it, and it makes you even bigger around the world because people get to know you.
Billy Burr and Joe Rogan are like real big, great acts. Like, they're headliners. What
right.
got me
right.
was every guy that was opening for me was asking me to be on his podcast. I'm like, well, shoot, if every middle act in the world has his own podcast, it's like the Cranberries album. Everybody else is doing it. Why aren't we?
Right.
And I reached out on Twitter, and I begged people. I won't name names, but I was like, I want to do a podcast. Can you help me? Can you do this? And just I started to think I was blacklisted. And then Kevin Smith, I saw at the NHL Awards, and he just said, yeah, I'll get you a podcast. I'm going to send a guy to your house, or do you want to do it at a studio? And I said, I want to do it at my house. And he goes, what kind of money do you want to make? I go, I didn't even know you could make money. I just want more people to come to my shows.
Right.
And I want people to hear the stories that I don't tell on stage because they take much longer to tell. And he goes, all right, I'll send Matt Cohen to your house. He'll be there Tuesday. So we've done 5 podcasts already.
He is. He came in a couple of days ago, and he was like, Jay was talking about doing a podcast, and he didn't seem to get any help. And he said, I didn't understand that. It made perfect sense to me, so I just got involved and made it happen.
Yeah, he's the coolest
guy. He is like the Suge Knight of podcasts.
No, he is the king.
Yeah.
Sign me to death row. Hopefully I'm Snoop and not like Corrupt or Daz or Rage.
Is he going to hang you over the balcony by your feet?
No, he's going to hang all them other fools. Rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat. Never hesitate to hang so-and-so on his back.
See, you don't get Jay Moore rapping on stage when you see him in concert. This is why you need to see the podcast.
It's good stuff. And, it's real honest. I was happy that the reviews said apparently it's the most honest podcast. Like, I had my manager on just to talk, Barry Katz, and I don't know how many managers would go on a podcast and talk about their failures, and Barry and I really just broke it down for like an hour and a half, and all the reviews, people seemed to be super surprised that I was talking about what a screw-up I used to be and how I used to fail. I just had Bert Kreischer on, and he put it best. And you guys knew me at the tail end of my downward spiral, too.
Sure.
And he said, this is what was so great. Bert said, this is what was so great about the Tupac that lived inside you.
But, Jay, it sounds like things are on the upswing now, because you not only have the live show, which is doing great, you got the podcast, which is great, but now you're blogging about Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, what's bigger than that in entertainment?
Nothing for me is bigger than that. Let me tell you something, Beaner. I hosted Watch What Happens Live last night. So, like, I'm hoping I'm like an honorary gay.
Okay.
Because Andy Cohen's in France, and I was the first ever guest host, and I had on Richie and Kathy from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I'm blogging for them, and it's just fun. It's hilarious. I watched the show.
Is this something you watched before?
Oh, yeah. I'm like a crazy person with the Housewives. It all started with Orange County. Orange County really is the gateway drug to the rest of the Housewives. If you don't know Orange County, you're really not going to get into anybody else. I haven't really watched. There's a couple cities that I'm not into as much, but New Jersey, Beverly Hills, Orange County, and New York, I'm crazy. I love them.
That's so funny. I can't get into any of the Housewives, but my wife watches them all.
How about Mob Wives? You see them?
Mob Wives rules. That rules.
Drita is my girl. I almost tweeted last night, just Drita! ! And my wife goes, what are you nuts? You can't put that out there.
This is why
Sammy the Bull's daughter like lives in the projects. I'm like, if I was at the reunion show, every time Sammy the Bull's daughter spoke, I would just go, rat, rat,
This is why Jay needs to get a movie. We need to get him away from watching so much reality television.
What do you think I'd be watching in my trailer between takes? Myself?
Well, that's true. That's a
most
good point.
Most actors are doing diamond push-ups, looking at themselves in the bathroom mirror. I would just be sitting there watching Mob Wives. Jay, we're ready for you.
All right, Jay. What nights do you need help selling out in Brea this week?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the ticket count yet. But Thursday, I get the entire tour. So okay. If you guys want to come Thursday, you'd really be helping me out.
All right. So Friday on is not that important. Thursday is going to be a great show.
Yes.
Thursday and Friday are important. Saturday, usually it's full anyway.
Okay.
But, see, this is the kind of honesty you get the More Stories podcast.
So Thursday night is the one that people should come to.
And plus, if you go Thursday, it's the only day you get to go to work Friday and brag.
True.
You know, if you go Friday, what are you going to wax your car and just, like, talk to your neighbor? But then Friday morning, you go into work hungover and go, dude, guess what we did last night, man? I was at Dave and Buster's with Jay Moores.
I got to tell you, Jay Moores, for those of you that haven't seen his stand-up, is maybe the best alive.
Damn, Kevin.
Not kidding.
Nice guy.
I'm not kidding. Unless Joe Rogan is listening, that's true.
Yeah, Rogan, whatever Rogan wants.
Unless Patton Oswalt is listening, too, I'd like to throw out there as well, by the way, because we're lucky to have a lot of comedy friends. But
I love Patton. I don't have any George Lucas material. That's Patton's domain.
No, you can Patton have that, is right? Amazing. Look, that's one of the best things about doing this job is we've gotten to know some of the comedians that we admire so much. But Kevin is absolutely right. Jay Moore Live is one of the best nights you'll ever have. Thursday through Sunday, go to improv.com. He's going to be appearing at Brea, and then go to smodcast.com. You can get Ralph's podcast there with Kevin Smith. You can get Jay Moore.
That's right. He's signed with Suge Knight, too.
That's right.
He is. He is indeed. All right, Jay, come in and see us again anytime, my friend.
Thanks. I can't wait to be back in studio, and I'm going to get Lisa double pregnant.
All right.
So we got your Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And then at just after the top of the next hour, a guy who's running a service where you can pay to have women go out with you. What does that sound like? That reminds me of something that I heard once. Oh, that's right. Hookers. Hookers.
But that's the part that's interesting is that it's not hookers. That there are literally guys who pay to have dates, and then at the end of the dates, after paying thousands of dollars, the girl leaves.
Well, maybe she doesn't.
Oh,
maybe,
that's what I'm
maybe
thinking.
If you hit it off, I mean, it's a real date. If you hit it off, maybe things will work out. No,
I thought that was like
it's not an escort
hardcore
service.
Thing.
It's not an escort service where they're just showing up to be your the girl on your arm when you go to an event. It's a service where they introduce women who are looking to date guys with money and guys who have money are willing to pay to meet these girls.
Oh, I see. Okay,
and so you know who knows what could happen.
Yeah, who knows? Well, anyway, that's all coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though. Kevin, all last week you were dying to tell us about your adventures in the World Series of Poker, but we never got a chance to get to it. Today, finally, we get to hear what happened. How much did you win, dude?
I'll get to that. The World Series of Poker goes on for like a month before the main one that they show on ESPN. The one that they show on ESPN starts like now.
Yeah.
So it's after I get back from vacation, so I can't really do that. But they have like three-day tournaments and stuff earlier. For a whole month, they have three-day tournaments. So I like to enter those, and I play in the three-day tournament.
The problem for Kevin, however, is that they're in Las Vegas.
They're in Las Vegas.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they were in Pacoima, you'd be fine.
The first time I did it, I didn't realize the schedule. The schedule is you start at noon, you go to 2, you get a half hour break, then you go to 4, then you get a half hour break, 20 minute break, then you go to 6 and you get dinner, and I thought we were done because that's a lot of poker.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And they go, no, we got another session tonight. So then you come back at like 8 and then you go to 10 and I go, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And then they go, no, 11 to 1. It's like 12 hours.
Oh my God.
In a day. Right?
Whoa.
So I'm thinking this takes a tremendous amount of concentration. And my plan is most people. Shut up, Ralph. You haven't even heard my plan yet.
For the fact that you even thought you could make a plan and then follow through with it.
I have a plan and it works.
Involving concentration it and works. You is
well,
funny
not,
to me.
I may not be the best at concentration.
All right.
But my plan is don't take unnecessary risks. So there are 3,000 people that are entered in my particular tournament. 3,000. And most of them take unnecessary risks. They go all in for no reason and they get knocked out. And so I figure I can outlast them and get into the money, right? So I outlast 500 of them, so now there's 2,500, and I outlast another 500, so there's 2,000. I outlast another 500, so there's 1,500. Then there's 1,000. Then there's like 600.
Wow.
Right? This is but now it's getting late in the first day. I started at noon. Now it's midnight. Yeah. And I'm having trouble.
I'm not good enough for to concentrate.
I don't drink when I'm playing poker because of that reason, because I can't really concentrate. But the night before wasn't good. But anyway, so so I see Joe Cada or Cada. Does that ring a bell, Bean?
Yeah, he won the World Series of Poker, didn't he, last year? Wasn't he an amateur?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, okay.
He was like 21. Mm-hmm. And remember, I talked you guys into having him on the show. This guy's 21. He won the World Series of Poker.
Yeah. Big story.
Didn't he enter one of those online tournaments or something?
And he ended up winning $8 million, and I thought it was a great story. I mean, he came on our show, and he was terrible. He was horrible.
It wasn't not a good interview.
Do you remember? He was just like,
yeah.
Yeah. Were you excited?
Yeah, it was great.
So I saw him, and I was like, I am going to go give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell that guy what I think, because he was terrible. And I kind of put myself out there a little bit. Like, if Ralph has a guest he wants on the show, he'll come in and pitch him to us.
Right. You're vouching for him.
You're sort of vouching for him, right? So I was vouching for this guy, and he was horrible. So I wanted to tell him off. So we play, and I've got just a monster pile of chips. I mean, it's working great. I'm not taking unnecessary risks. I'm going into the next day easy. I'm going to make the money. And then I get moved to a table right with him at a table that he's playing at. Yeah. Mm. And then it occurs to me that he won the World Series of Poker because he's a good poker player.
Right.
So nothing to do with his interview skills. Right.
So now I'm not quite as interested in telling him off about the interview as I am going up against him in poker. So, to make a long story short, there's a board, there's no straight, there's no flush, he can't possibly have anything, I have a pair of tens. Earlier in the day, I would never go all in with a pair of tens, but I thought I had him, and it's me and him. It's me and Joe Cada.
Dude. Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to knock this mother effer out, and then as he's leaving, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
This part of your plan, is it, Kevin?
Well, it wasn't. My plan changed.
So you're veering off the plan at this point.
Greatly.
I see.
I have a pair of tens, and that's all I have, right?
Yeah.
So he goes all in, and I think this mother effer thinks I'm nobody, which I am, in the poker world.
He's going to bluff you out of the
pot. He's going to bluff
me.
He knows, he's so much better than me. He's just going to go all in, and he doesn't.
You're going to buckle. He thinks you're going to buckle like
some
pussy.
I'm not going to buckle like a pussy. No way. Not to him.
No.
That's where my pride started taking over. So I was like, I call. And I said it like that, and I turned over my tens, and he had two pair, and I lost. And then as I was walking away, he turned out being this, you're going to be fascinated by this, to be the nicest person in the world. Hey, man, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't, he wasn't even paying attention, by the way. He didn't even know what we were doing. I'm really sorry. It was great playing with you, and I hadn't introduced myself or anything. And good luck, you know, and it's great. And he was talking to us. Nicest person in the entire world.
So you couldn't hate on him like he'd planned, because now.
Even though he just knocked me out of the tournament. And
you didn't
I was
get the satisfaction of telling him off.
Let's see. The buy-in was $1,500. The lowest amount you can win is $4,500.
Nice.
I missed that by 50 people.
Oh.
75 people. Because I did that.
Yeah.
With that. I had enough chips. I could have just folded into the second day.
Just waited. We would have made at least $3,000 profit.
Nothing. Zero. Got zero after 12 hours of playing poker. And got knocked out by Joe Cada, who I wanted to tell off.
You let your emotions get the better of you.
Yeah, that happened.
Pride goeth before a fall,
saith
the Lord.
Yeah, it was pride, because I just kept thinking, he just thinks he can push me around, and I'm going to be afraid of him because he won the World Series of Poker.
I'll show him.
So what? I'll show him, right. So I
know we don't have time to get into this now, but I do want to add as a P.S. to Kevin's poker story that apparently he was pretty depressed after he got bumped on Friday night, because if you follow Kevin on Twitter, he went into one of the craziest alcoholic weekends in Las Vegas I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, that's where you're wrong. This was actually Friday night.
All happened before you started playing.
Yes.
Oh.
This happened Friday night, Bean, when I was just going to go to Vegas and I was going to warm up. The tournament started Saturday at noon.
Well, then Friday night you should have been in bed at like 10 p.m.
That
to be well rested and fresh the next day.
That was my plan. Mm-hmm.
Well, then how did you end up at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway watching Tiesto? How did that happen?
Stealing stuffed animals from children.
I don't know what happened.
What?
Stole a stuffed animal from a child.
Kevin!
I know I ran into some people that I knew, and then we started drinking, and then I think there was a concert at the Hard Rock. Kid Cudi or somebody, so we went there, and then there were a bunch of people wearing all the rave clothing, and they were like, come on, you gotta come out to the Speedway, Tiesto's out there.
Let me just read you, Lisa, one of Kevin's tweets real quickly.
Just stole a stuffed animal from a passed out kid. He's not using it. I'm going to make it my bitch.
Wait, did I tweet that?
Yes.
Come on.
You want me to keep going?
No.
Yes.
Hypothetical, Kevin tweets. You leave your unfinished pizza outside your room in a hotel to be picked up. Leave for an hour. Come back. It's still there. Next tweet. Looks pretty good. Still in box. Don't forget, this is hypothetical. You want more pizza. It's untouched. Does whoever bring it back into the room? I'm guessing you ate yourself some cold ass pizza from the hallway.
The answer is yes. Yeah. You do bring it in.
Yeah. Well, if you're on your hands and knees eating pizza in a hotel room hallway at 4 a.m., then how are you not fresh and ready to kick ass at the tournament at noon?
I was so hungover and so hurting, and I was like, this is not my plan.
You are a professional.
I need to not do it. Can they do it in Vegas? Can they not do it in Vegas?
That's what I think. You need to go to some dry county where they have a poker game, and then you go there.
That didn't go so well. But it was pretty fun. It's a pretty fun weekend.
Right until you had a good time.
Joe Catta knocked me out that
fast. Stole stuffed animal from small child.
I didn't tweet later.
You did. This is what you tweeted. Just stole a stuffed animal from a passed out kid. He's not using it. I'm going to make it my bitch. That's what that happened.
All right, let's move on. We got Hardy Levin to talk to when we come back from TMZ.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, don't forget, today is 7-Eleven. Get your free Slurpee at participating 7-Eleven stores. It's a holiday. It's a big day. It's a big red letter day on my calendar. I love 7-Eleven, as you know. And I love 7-Eleven Day. I get very excited by it.
Yep.
How about Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joining us on the phone as he does every Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Harvey, what's going on, man?
Everything's good around here. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Doing fine. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk to you since, I know we got some other stuff to talk about, but since the Casey Anthony verdict came down last week, I think we had you on before that happened. As an attorney, you probably weren't surprised by the verdict, right?
Well, I mean, look, I was a little bit surprised by the verdict. I've been really pissed off at Nancy Grace. I mean, look,
she's the devil.
I think she's probably guilty.
Nancy Grace is guilty?
No, I knew you were going to do that. I think Casey Anthony is probably guilty. But, you know, at a point, we're not the jurors. And these people have to say, when you put your head down on the pillow at night, you can't have even a reasonable doubt. And the fact is, you know, the prosecutors didn't have a time of death. They didn't have a cause of death. There were some holes in the case. And, you know, the jury did what it did. And then Nancy Grace goes out. And what's so disgusting about this is she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And she's tar and feathering this jury, you know, calling them morons, basically. So the word Nancy Grace, this horrible lawyer Nancy Grace is sending out, is that basically if you end up being a juror on a high-profile case and you don't find somebody guilty, I'm going to frickin' screw you over like you won't believe.
I mean, she is, Harvey, you're right. She's this close to calling for vigilante justice, isn't she?
She's created vigilante justice. I mean, she's whipping up a lynching squad here. And it's just unbelievable how irresponsible it is. And the fact that Headline News would put her on the air and let her do it, and the fact that she's just doing it is sickening.
I agree. And the other thing, and I didn't hear how this came out, Harvey, and maybe you did, is I know that there were, now that the jury has finished and they've completed their assignment and they released their verdict and everything, I know that members of the media were petitioning the judge to release their names so that they could be gone after and be, you know, essentially forced to give interviews. And a lot of people were saying you don't want juries to be afraid if they're on a case that could have an unpopular verdict, that now they're going to be public figures and people are going to know who they are. They deserve the right to remain anonymous if they want to. And if they want to decide to speak out, as some have, they should be allowed to come forward to the media, but they shouldn't be forced out, right?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. One, I agree with you that they should. And that's been, you know, it's kind of, you know, trial by trial and state by state, but there are a lot of judges that won't release the jurors' names ever. But, you know, the other thing is, it's like these jurors, you know, in a close case, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, you know, I'm not sure, but I don't want to be vilified by people like Nancy Grace, so I'll just go ahead and find that person guilty? I mean,
yes,
think about what that
exactly
does to the system. It's unbelievable how irresponsible she is. She's a circus act, but it's having an impact on, you know, a bunch of, you know, people who can't form a decent thought.
But let me take the other side, though, Harvey, just for a second. There's no doubt she killed her daughter, okay? Hold on. Let me finish. I'm not a juror. I can use common sense. I can watch everything that's going on. Did they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that she killed her? No, absolutely not. The jury has to do what they have to do. I can watch it, though, and you can watch it, and you can go, okay, no doubt, 99%. She killed her daughter. So that's where the outrage, that's where the outrage comes from, is because we are not the jury, so we don't have to follow those
rules. But Nancy Grace should know better than what she's doing on TV. As an attorney, she should know better.
She's the devil.
Guys, but the point is that Nancy Grace is not directing her anger at the fact that, at Casey Anthony. She's directing it at the jury.
Or at the prosecution. Right, you're right, you're right.
She's directing it all at the jury. The jury has a big, fat target on its back right now because of her.
Right.
And now, if you guys listened to some of these jurors, they're actually very thoughtful.
I agree. I've been very impressed with the jurors that I've seen on TV who say, I was sick to my stomach that I could not bring back a guilty verdict. I'm not saying she's innocent. I'm saying the prosecution didn't prove it. Look, they couldn't even prove that the little girl was killed, much less that she was murdered by her mother. So what are you going to do with that? Now, let me transition from that, Harvey, and ask you, how do you handle Casey Anthony now? I see you've got a picture of her parents sunbathing at a pool up at TMZ.com right now. Is she a celebrity now that your readers are going to want to follow step by step as to what she does next?
Well, look, I mean, I think that she's a notorious person who, you know, everybody does want to see what she's going to do next. And, you know, I think everybody wants to see where she's going right now. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we were talking about this today in the morning meeting. I'm sure that one of the networks is going to figure out a way of paying $1 million to get her.
Of course.
And they'll do it, you know, through the back door and buy a picture or do whatever. But everybody wants to interview her. I mean, she's probably the number one person that, you know, on the list of every network in America.
We were talking off the air. We were having a pool of when she was going to be seen out partying or when she was going to be seen giving an interview. Or is she going to, what I would do, I think, disappear for about 5 years?
Well, I don't think, you know, from what I saw in the trial, I don't think she's capable of that.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. And I mean, what kind of work can this woman get if she doesn't sell her story or write a book? Who's going to hire Casey Anthony?
No, she's going to sell her story. You know that.
Yeah.
But she's never going to. I mean, and even if she came out and admitted, oh, I got away with it and I killed, there's nobody can go back and retry her. I mean, she was found not guilty.
No,
so
she could say I did it, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter. It's over. Double jeopardy.
Hopefully, she's going to be done like O.J. was.
Scary thing is, what if she has kids?
She said she wanted to adopt. Did I hear that correctly? Did I hear that correctly? Did she say
she did?
She wants to adopt a kid. Oh.
Well, let's just hope she ends up in Las Vegas at a memorabilia show trying to get some stuff back with a gun. I mean, that's the only thing we can do. All right, we're out of time. Find out about the conversation Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger had on the phone with the mother of his child. Find out about that. Halle Berry calling 911 is up on the site. Vinny is back at Jersey Shore and so much more. TMZ.com, of course, the entertainment website of record. TMZ Television, check your local listings. And when you're on the website, be sure to book your tour in Hollywood for the TMT bus tour. It's awesome. Harvey, you're the best, man. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Showbiz Beat time. Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. What's going on?
Captain America's going on.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. And he's led to a fight, and a duel is due, and the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Why did Captain America start throwing his shield? Isn't his shield a defensive
item? But it's also an offensive weapon. If you're coming at him, he can whiz it at you, take you right out, and it comes back like a boomerang.
Oh, all right.
Suck it,
Can we write that down as we've heard the Captain America theme and now we don't have to play it anymore because that's already happened?
We got a whole week.
Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Let's get a worse version of it, though.
All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield.
That's some lyrical writing right there. Captain America, the First Avenger movie coming out everywhere July the 22nd in a theater near you. But maybe you don't want to wait that long. Maybe you want to go to the red carpet world premiere. Maybe you want to see Chris Evans, who stars as Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. Scrawny 4F little dude who couldn't make it in the military, so they took him in for the special project. Made him a super soldier.
With a tan.
One of a kind.
He comes out of the booth completely tanned.
And he became our Captain America, taking on the Nazis like the Red Skull, that evil prick.
Easy, hey, man. Take it easy.
Hate Red Skull.
Hey, Ralph, was Chris Evans, is that all special effects, or was he really skinny and then he could get buff?
Him being skinny is special effects.
Ah.
When he becomes Captain America, he becomes buff Steve Rogers. That's the real Chris Evans right there.
Ah.
Yeah, he's a good-looking fella. By the way, write this name. Jot this name down, folks. You'll thank me. After you see Captain America, just remember the name Haley Atwell. Just remember Haley Atwell. Just remember that name.
Haley?
Haley.
Oh, Haley.
Atwell. She makes Kate Beckinsale look like a boy.
Oh, how dare you. Kate Beckinsale's one of the most beautiful women in the world. All right, I'll look.
Wait, just wait. Haley Atwell is a British actress who is stunning and talented and built. She plays Peggy Rogers in this his love interest in this film. And just, boy, I just can't wait to see this film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Got a picture? There we go. There's Haley Atwell.
Hey, wow.
She was in Pillars of the Earth. Did you see that miniseries? No. Pillars of the Earth miniseries? Good stuff. If you'd like to go to the Red Carpet World Premiere and see all these beautiful people and attend it at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, I'm going to ask you a Captain America trivia question. I'll be asking these all week long because I only want people who really love Cap to go.
The color yellow. The color yellow.
No, Cap is talking about Green Lantern. We're moving on. This is a new Cap is his nickname. Call him Cap. Hey, Cap. People say.
No one says that.
Here's your question. Captain America usually works alone. Of course, early in the pantheon of Captain America adventures, he had a sidekick, Bucky. You know, Bucky was right by his side. Bucky was his boy wonder. Like Batman
after
had
Tonto.
Robin. Batman had Robin. Captain America had Bucky.
Bucky.
Who dressed up in a similar red, white, and blue costume. Fought alongside of him. Until thought murdered. That's a long story. Then later on, in the 70s, Cap had his second partner to fight crime with. What was his name? What was the name of that superhero? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you know the answer. Call now. First call to get through wins. Who was
Cap? Cap. Cap and Bucky is who we're talking about here.
No, we were talking about Cap and Bucky. Then Cap moved on after he lost Bucky, or thought he did, to take on another partner later in his career. The only other partner Cap had.
Who Let's stretch it? This question out further, Bean.
You'll be sorry when you know the answer.
Yes, I will.
All right, let's talk about top movies at the box office. We do it every Monday. No surprise, Transformers 3 came in at number one again this weekend. $47 million made it number one. Horrible Bosses was the second highest grossing movie this weekend. The new film with Jason Bateman, $28 million. Doesn't he have like another movie coming out next week, too?
Yes.
Jason Bateman's in every movie.
He's in everything.
Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman,
and Dr.
Bradley Cooper.
Kim Jong, or whatever his name is.
Well, Ken Jeong's in everything.
He's in everything, too.
But those three guys seem to be in every movie America makes. Zookeeper was third. Cars 2 was fourth. Bad Teacher came in at number five. Larry Crown was sixth. Then Super 8, Monte Carlo, Green Lantern, and Mr. Popper's Penguins. Congratulations to Monica, the R&B singer, married L.A. Lakers point guard Shannon Brown again over the weekend here in Los Angeles. They were secretly married back in November at their home. But this time, they had a big party and reception and ceremony for all their friends and family to attend. And it was lovely.
Didn't you just hear the guy in that relationship? And any time that happens, they go, again? Really?
Unless he's getting an assful from his family. He said, why couldn't we?
Yeah.
We don't rate who would be invited to your wedding. So they
That's when you say, thing. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Not well, everybody is thrilled with eloping couples, it turns out.
You speak from
says Bean,
prior experience? Yeah. You are denying, especially parents.
Yeah, I agree.
That joy that they get from being at those special events, you know. But Bean not caring about the feelings of others was easy for his decision for him to make. He just, let's just get married.
Look, if somebody says, if somebody agrees to marry me, I have to do it now before they have a chance to change their mind.
Oh, if Donna could take back that one moment of weakness.
No kidding.
Can you imagine?
Oh, she's often said it was the biggest mistake she ever made.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Attending the wedding was Lala Vasquez, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant, D-Fish was there. The whole Laker gang showed up, so congratulations to those guys. J.K. Rowling's got a big movie coming out this weekend, Harry Potter and the Anal Fissure.
What?
I don't think it's Anal Fissure.
I don't think that's
I'm not
that's
a big,
right.
Big follower of the franchise.
I don't think that's the name of it.
I'm not sure exactly. Harry Potter and the
fight with
Deathly
the guy with
Carbuncle.
No nose.
Isn't
know.
It Deathly Hallows? Isn't that what Could we're up to or no?
That's you got right. me. She was at the premiere in the UK over the weekend at Trafalgar Square, and the fans cheer as loudly when they see her as when they do Daniel Radcliffe. She is that kind of superstar author. She said at the premiere, she's backed off a little bit her prior position, and she said she would never say never when it comes to bringing Harry Potter back in book form.
I thought she did say
she
never.
Did. Okay. Now she's saying never say never. The hint was greeted with deafening cheers, and everyone thinks she may end up writing another book, but look. She can do whatever she wants. She's a gazillionaire.
Of course.
She did add, "It's my baby. If I want to bring it out to play again, I will." So she's got a point.
And people would eat it up.
Oh, no, you kidding me? They're dying for another book from her.
Yep.
While we're talking about movies, Captain America, The First Avenger. Who's going to go with me to the red carpet world premiere on the 19th of July? Scott?
Yeah.
Who is Cap's other partner?
The Falcon.
The Falcon. Sam Wilson, The Falcon.
The Falcon has spoken.
One of the first African American superheroes of the 70s. Falk was his partner. Thanks so much, Scott. You're going to go to the red carpet world premiere. Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
Thank you.
He goes by Falk, does he?
Falk, Captain Falk. Let's go, Falk. Captain, let's go, Falk. We have to go. All right, Cap. Let's do it.
We sure are going to be talking to a lot of dudes during the showbiz beat this
week. Stop it, women. I got an email from a girl who said, "I love Captain America. Well, how can I win tickets?" I said, "Just keep listening. I'll be giving away all week."
Trying to win him for a boyfriend, is she?
You know, there's a great old record and comic book set they used to sell back in the 70s, I think it was. It's like a radio play of Captain America and Falcon. I got to bring it in because it's pretty hilarious.
Oh, that'd be great.
There's some acting going on in that thing.
Okay. You don't have to, but thank you for bringing it up.
Falk, we have to go. It's Baron Zemo. We have to beat him. Oh, why is that old bugaboo coming back to get you, Cap?
No.
That's how Falcon talks.
No. Bring it in.
It is wildly inappropriate.
Now I'm in.
Wildly inappropriate stuff.
Now I'm in.
What brought that old bugaboo back, Cap? I don't know, Falk. I just don't know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mindy Sterling of the Austin Powers films is 58 years old today. Celia Ward turns 55. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi is 52. Lisa Rinna celebrates her 48th birthday. Scott Schreiner of Weezer is 46. Greg Grunberg is 45 years old. Justin Chambers of Grey's Anatomy is 41. Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville is 39. Lil' Kim celebrates her 36th birthday today. And Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie celebrates his 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I never thought this day would come. For years, I've said, how come they could put a man on the moon, but they can't find a woman who will go out with me? Well, now, Kevin, the website exists where a woman will even go out with me.
Take it easy. You don't know that for a fact.
She can say no, right?
She can say no.
Oh, I guess that's one of the questions we'll have to ask our guests about. What'syourprice.com? If you want to go to the website right now and play along, if you are the generous one, you're the one with cash, you pay to date beautiful, gorgeous, or sexy people of either sex. And if you're the attractive one, you get paid for going out on a date and get a chance to spend your time meeting fun and generous people. So it sounds like a win-win, right? Let's find out more about this website with the founder and CEO of the company, whatsyourprice.com. Brandon Wade joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Wade. How are you, sir?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. You certainly caught our attention with What's Your Price. We don't normally think in terms of going out on dates that we're paying for.
Well, that's true, but they already do it at charity events where you bid for, a date with a fireman or a prom queen and things like that. So it's been done, and we're simply taking it to the internet.
Now, in those, let's talk about that, because in those cases, it is understood that it is a one-time thing. That celebrity or other person is willing to give up a couple of hours of their time because together you are trying to raise money for charity. Isn't the intention of whatsyourprice.com that you will go without with one of these men or women? And that something further might happen from that? I mean, you are also it is also kind of a dating site, right? Not just a one-time deal.
Well, it is a one-time deal in the sense that you only pay for the first date. So assuming there's chemistry and both of you like each other and you want to see each other beyond that first date, then you don't end up paying anymore. So it's really for the
You end up paying.
Exactly.
Now, I'm just guessing here, Mr. Wade, I'm glad we have you on, but it's mostly women getting paid by men who want to go out with them because they're way hotter than the men could ordinarily get, right? But you do offer both sexes, right?
Correct. I mean, about 95% of the website is men paying women. But
only 95%?
All right, tell me about these women. Why are they doing it?
For lots of reasons. I think a lot of women feel that, on the site specifically, feel that their time is very valuable. I mean, women, it takes a woman a much longer amount of time to get ready for a date, and of course a lot more money to get ready for a date. You got to buy
Let's be honest.
Products and makeup.
Let's be
and all
honest.
That stuff.
Let's be
Our
honest.
Our upkeep is high.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Let's forget
that.
About the whole it takes them longer to get ready. Their time is, they want money. It's okay. They want to get some cash. That's all right.
Well, it's possible. I mean,
it's possible. You're not paying
them for the time it takes them to put on their makeup. I mean, you know.
They look at it as it's an easier way to make more money than they could doing something else, I bet. Now, do the women, how are they screened? Or do you talk to them? Are they looking for, I mean, is this a career for some of these women? Or are they really hoping to meet a rich man? Where are they coming from?
Well, most of the women are really looking for a relationship. I think, you know, we do screen people, and so all the professional data, so to say, we kind of kick them off. So there's the screening process. I do have a team in place. We review every single picture. We read what people write about what they're looking for, as well as what they want on the first date. So
what kind of guys do you mostly get?
Well, guys like myself who, you know, as you said, you know, you want to date beautiful girls, and a lot of times it's tough to compete with, you know, with all the men out there for the attention. And, you know, for me, I have an issue with walking up to a woman with, you know, at a bar and with a pickup line, and that's not me. You know, coming up with some cash, being generous and showing a woman how I'm different from other men, this is my game. So
you're different from other men in that you make it rain.
Right. Now, this may be a tough question for you to answer, Brandon, but I assume you've spoken with a bunch of the women who are on your side who are making themselves available to date for cash. Wouldn't they, in some ways, automatically discount that guy as being date material because he's, and I don't mean any offense to you, the site's a great idea, but he's a loser who has to pay to go out with a hot chick. So how much does he possibly have going on? I would think that would be a turnoff to the women.
You would be surprised the type of men who use the website. I mean, we've got a bunch of Harvard graduates. We've got lawyers and accountants and, you know, people with a lot of means who are tired of wasting time on regular dating website because it takes a lot of effort to write hundreds of emails just to wait for two or three response. On What's Your Price, you're basically going on there to buy a date. So it's a transactional-based type of a dating mechanism, which really saves people a lot of time.
But you're going on there going, hey, look at me, I've got money. That's what sets me apart.
I think so. I mean, okay. Or the fact that you are generous. You don't have to be
generous.
Very, very rich to use a website like this. I mean, dates generally run for about $100. So it's not a lot of money.
So are the guys putting up any information about them so the women can see their pictures and stuff and decide if they want to go?
Of course. I think, you know, the more handsome you are, the better looking picture you have, chances are the woman would accept a much lower price date as well.
So, right. That's why I would go get another picture of someone else and pass it off as myself.
Let me ask you this, Brandon. At the end of the date, let's say you've agreed it's going to be a $120 date and we're going to go out on this night and you go out to dinner and a movie or whatever it is you mutually decide. At the end of the night, this is my picturing the scenario of what happens, and tell me if this is accurate. The guy is thinking two things. One is, can I get her to go out with me again next weekend for free? And how do I make that happen? Or can I pony up a couple of hundred extra dollars and turn this into sex? I'm sure both of those things happen. That conversation happens at the end of many dates, right?
Well, it might happen. It's really between two people. But I've had, members tell me that some women like them so much, they actually return the cash. I think cash is more important. The money is more important if the relationship actually doesn't work, because at that point, the woman is like, thank goodness I didn't waste my 2 hours.
Right.
But if it does work.
You just said the women return the cash.
A woman has never returned any cash for any reason ever.
Let's keep this in the real world. Come on now.
All right. I mean, you don't have to give numbers, but has there been a great response? I mean, do you have hundreds, thousands? You have tons of people who are participating on both sides of this equation, Brandon?
Yeah, we have had over 100,000 members join up. And
what?
We have actually, we've matched up over 50,000 dates so far.
What? Wow. This is way more popular than I imagined it would be. I would just think that most guys would not want to pay ahead of what they're already going to pay for the date, but I guess you proved me wrong.
Brandon, are you busy right now, or can you hold on and can we do another break? We want to take some calls.
Sure.
Okay, you hold on. 1-800-520-1067. If people have questions for you, or if you're the type of person who would use this service, give us a call, and we'll figure out exactly how this is working. So you hold on, Brandon, okay?
Okay. All right,
I want to thank our guest, Mr. Brandon Wade, founder and CEO of whatsyourprice.com, for hanging on the phone with us. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think about this service that he provides at What's Your Price, where you pay to go out on a date with a member of the opposite sex? Now, Brandon, you don't get involved in what the couple decides to go off and do after that date. I assume you take a
cut of what's paid for the date. But beyond that, they're just two people who can do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we run basically a dating website, so we charge people to communicate with each other once they agree on the price. But that's basically it. What they do after that, they actually mention that in their profile. So there's a section where we ask people, what are your expectations or what do you want to do on the first date? So people can communicate between each other very clearly so they know what they're going to do.
But isn't it true that all of the guys hope that it ends in sex? Whether they say it or not, don't you think like all of them at least hope it goes there?
Hope that eventually they would get
there. Not eventually. That's
not what you use.
That's just like any date.
Gives you that hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's right. That has nothing to do with whatsyourprice.com. That's any date, Kevin. Okay. Come on. Now, Brandon, before we go to a couple calls, and I think you're going to be surprised and pleased with the ladies that are on the line, you mentioned that you have had trouble in the past walking up and talking to women. Has this site worked for you? Have you gone on any dates using What's Your Price?
Well, certainly. Not just me, but all the members who have given me feedback. They have, everybody has had a great time.
Is this just for you to find dates? Is that the only reason for this site?
Well, I think the motivation of creating websites, dating websites like these, is to help myself solve the problems that I faced in life.
Okay, hey, we saw The Social Network. I mean, sometimes all you have to do is be trying to get a girl, and you come up with a great idea. Let's talk to Marcy real quick. Marcy has actually been on your site. She has actually used your site. Marcy, do I have this right? You were one of the women that somebody could buy a date with?
That's correct.
Fascinating. Tell me why you decided to do it.
Other sites like the big one Match.com, and it's like a job interview process to go on a date with someone.
Right.
I'm a busy single mom. I just want to go on a nice date and be treated well.
Okay.
And this is exactly what it is. Someone wants to go out with me. They take me out to a nice place, and I have a great time.
How much did the guy have to pay?
I've gotten $100, $80.
That's funny. I would think it would be. I would think it would be a lot more. You've been on three dates on his site.
Yes.
And what have you thought about the guy? What have you thought about the guys that you've gone out with? Have they been all right?
Oh yeah, they've been nice. You know, all of them have been like older gentlemen, probably in their 50s, just want to have a nice time with a beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. Who wants to go to a club or like me? Am I going to meet a guy at the grocery store? No.
I hope not. Right. And real quick, Marcy, and I'm glad you called, and thank you for hanging on. At the end of the night, when there's that moment where they're trying to see if there's anything more that is going to happen, how do you handle that?
It's pretty much set ahead of time that I got to be back for the babysitter. And
sweet.
There you go.
And then Brandon Wade says what? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Marcy. Good luck with it. Appreciate that. So that's the kind of woman you're talking about, is somebody who's just busy, isn't meeting men the way she hoped to, and these are guys who are willing to pay, so why not, right? It's a win-win for her.
Well, it's true. I mean, you heard her. She doesn't have enough time. And
right.
And, you know, she has to hire a babysitter, too. So there's cost involved in her going out on a date.
It's funny. It's funny. I thought when I first saw this pitch and I first saw this site, I thought the amount of money would be way more than $80 to $100.
There are people who pay a lot. I mean, we've got upwards of $1,000 from some of these guys.
Those people expect sex. Am I
why?
Right?
How can a woman charge $1,000 and not give sex, Brandon? What does she have?
Well, in this case, the woman actually is not charging. The guy is the one who's being ultra generous. So perhaps he's got some crazy expectations, but you know, it is crazy. I would not recommend anyone to pay $1,000 for a first date. I mean, you know, we've had low offers as well, as low as $10. Now, those, I think, are far more reasonable.
Really?
I'm going to put myself up on the site and go out with anyone for 50 cents.
If somebody says $5, I'm going, hey, come on now. I'm worth more than $5.
All right. Ann, thank you for calling. I'm sorry we're not going to have time to get you on the air, but Ann is another busy woman who called and said she's glad she heard about your site, Brandon, because she would totally use this service. She's having trouble finding businessmen to go out with, to which I say, Ann, you should be hotter. But thank you for the call anyway.
Oh, stop it.
All right, Brandon, founder and CEO of whatsyourprice.com. Good luck to you, sir. I can't wait to see you on the news when you're being busted for running a prostitution ring. That's going to be a lot of fun for all of us, but we appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. Ralph Garman is here. What's up, Ralph?
First of all, getting much love for the Captain America giveaway. A lot of people are very excited about Captain America the First Avenger. They want to go see that movie.
You were answering the business line, and it's just going crazy?
Lots of tweets, lots of emails, sir, for reals. I can show them to you.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Some people complaining, questions a little too easy.
Oh.
A little too easy.
You gotta make it a little harder.
May have to crank it up for the rest of the week.
I hear everyone over at ilivein.mymomsbasement.com is just frothing at the mouth for these.
Oh, stop it, because that's a popular cliche that comic book fans live in their mom's basement.
Based on truth.
Yeah.
Back to you.
However, there is a bit of a controversy. Oh. Because a lot of people are saying, no, Golden Girl took over for Bucky as Cap's sidekick after Bucky died.
Okay, anyone that knows Falcon. That should be...
Which is just laughable, because we all know Golden Girl, when she took over, was the sidekick for the Jeffrey Mace Captain America, not the Steve Rogers Captain America, because he was missing in action. Come on,
obviously.
People.
Are you still talking?
Get real.
Obviously.
Let's keep things straight here. Steve Rogers, the original Cap, had two sidekicks, Bucky and Falcon. Come on. It's a gimme.
All right.
Right? You with me?
Yeah. You don't have to tell Comic-Con's Kevin and Bean. We know.
Tell you guys. I can't believe you guys are going to be at Comic-Con. That's just so wrong.
It's so right.
I'm going to have to get up a horde of geeks with pitchforks and torches just to drive you out of the city.
Bean got injured sleeping. How hard is it going to be to drive us out of the city?
He'll be easy to catch. He'll be the guy limping through the gaslight.
The marine crawl down the street because he can't stand up.
We're not going to be laughing when he throws a clot.
Yes, we are.
It's all over.
I suspect you are, actually. We're getting our friend Dr. Mo on tomorrow. For folks who weren't listening earlier, I did have a terrible sports injury over the weekend.
Yeah.
And Dr. Mo is going to tell us my likelihood of dying from some sort of deep vein thrombosis tomorrow.
Yeah. Bean says, I'm concerned. I may have a clot. I could die from this. Let's get someone on the radio to talk about it, too. Yeah. How concerned can you be when you want someone to diagnose you via radio as opposed to getting into the emergency room immediately?
Is this a good ratings time for Bean to die? Because I think maybe.
Oh, I think we may be out of the sweeps.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to wait.
Can you wait until November, Bean, to die?
Look, I don't have a doctor at my house, and I'm not really interested in leaving my house. So the only way I can get diagnosed is over the phone. So it might as well be Dr. Mo.
Bean's the guy on WebMD every day trying to figure out what's going wrong with his body. All right, let's talk about the top movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Transformers 3, number one again. $47 million took in over the weekend. It's pretty strong for its second week and release. Horrible Bosses, in its debut, made $28 million. Good enough to make it number two. Then Zookeeper at number three. Cars 2 and Bad Teacher round out the top five. Larry Crown, Super 8, Monte Carlo, Green Lantern, and Mr. Popper's Penguins are the rest of the top 10 this weekend.
Larry Crown not getting a lot of love.
No, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The press that Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts have been doing together when they're interviewed is wildly entertaining.
They're so likable.
Very likable, charming people, and they seem to care about each other an awful lot. And that chemistry
that
you see on the Letterman show, for example, apparently doesn't necessarily carry over to the screen.
I hear that it is excellently directed by Tom Hanks, but perhaps he could have used a little help with the script, is what I'm being told.
Hanks directed Larry Crown as well?
Did he? Uh-huh.
I didn't
first,
know that.
First direction since That Thing You Do.
Oh, there you go. Which is a movie I liked a lot, That Thing You Do. But
It was great.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Beckhams. Another baby to their brood. Victoria Beckham gave birth to a healthy baby girl here in Los Angeles on Sunday morning. David Beckham announced his daughter's name via Facebook. Huh. I'm still using Facebook. That's cute. I am so proud and excited to announce the birth of our daughter. Harper is her name. Harper.
Harper.
Now, Harper, I said, that's not nearly effed up enough, really, for a celebrity couple like the Beckhams, who do have Brooklyn, Romeo, and Cruz, which sounds like a code on a battlefield.
It does. Trying to
go, all right, can we, Roger Tango, it's Brooklyn, Romeo, Cruz. Release the air support. So Harper is the fourth member of their kids. However, a little further research will reveal that their middle name, Harper's middle name, Harper Beckham's middle name, is Seven.
Seven, the number seven?
Seven.
S-E-V-E-N.
S-E-V-E-N is her middle name.
Harper Seven.
Harper Seven Beckham. They couldn't resist. They couldn't resist just effing with her just a touch.
They have to. That's their role as celebrities.
Seven, by the way, comes from Beckham's jersey number.
Oh, gotcha.
Back in England.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. He had to give up 7 when he joined Spain's Real Madrid team because the number was already assigned to someone. So he had to give up 7. So I guess he gave it to his daughter so she could hold on to it for a while.
Remember the singer Erykah Badu, Ralph, had a daughter named 7. That was her first name.
Yeah.
Oh, what a burn.
That's not good.
I don't get, they have 3 kids. The youngest is 6. I would think you would be so happy to have kids that old and not have to have infants around anymore, starting all over again with a baby. I don't get that. To be out of diapers with all 3 of their kids, yeah.
Some people get a real sense of longing and disappointment once the kids grow up and they miss the baby years.
Some people love having kids. I mean, that's hard for you to understand.
For some people, the baby years are the best years of childhood for some parents. They adore the baby stage, not so much the older kids when they grow up and start sassing you.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You're coming off to all sassy. My daughter, my 14-month-old daughter, Olivia, has...
She's sassy now?
She's sassy. She is not talking a lot. She's managing certain words.
Kevin, for example?
No, that hasn't come up yet.
Captain America?
I will be putting her in a home if that's one of her early words. No, she has conquered... No! That's one of her popular words. That's what you want a toddler to have mastered.
No.
So no is everything. No. No. She'll point at something, and I'll say, no, you can't play with that. He's a cell phone kid. No, no. I say, here we go. Here we go. Remember when you were a mute child? Good old days.
Take Daddy's Batman mask off.
Oh, she doesn't even know there's a Batman room. She won't know until she's 18 that room even exists. It's hidden for a reason, people.
Is there a code?
You have to pull
a book or something?
Is there a busted William Shakespeare you got to go through to
get to
it?
That's ridiculous. No, they've got a retina eye pattern scanner. You have to put your eye up against it. It reads your retinas and then it lets you in.
I like it.
Yeah. So, code's too easy. Someone can figure out the code. There's only one of these, baby. Right here.
2, actually.
Oh, it's true. But this one is the one I use. I got this. In case I lose one, I got the other going. I guess I throw a clot. Robert Pattinson is in the news. He and girlfriend Kristen Stewart have come out publicly saying they are against the Casey Anthony verdict.
Wow.
We've heard from them finally. Finally, now I know how to feel about the whole situation because the Twilight kids have expressed how they feel. I guess the rumor got started that Kristen Stewart was in the running to star as Casey Anthony in a film based on the trial. She has said, however...
She doesn't show much emotion. That would be probably a pretty
Casey
good choice.
Actually, Casey shows a lot more emotion than Kristen does.
That's true.
Kristen says she is not interested in playing Casey Anthony because she is disgusted by the outcome, and the idea of starring in a movie about her life grosses her out, she says.
Do we have time for the Family Guy version of Twilight?
Oh, I think we do, sure.
I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she? Nope. The end.
The end. Nope. And scene. So funny, yet so true. And sad news for Bean, I know. Apparently the Black Eyed Peas have decided to go on an indefinite hiatus. They're busting up the band.
What's Bean going to do without the Peas?
I don't know.
What happens to the tattoo now?
What's the Super Bowl going to do for a halftime show? Aren't they like every other year they bring out the Black Eyed Peas?
Pretty much.
Apparently they were performing in England, and they announced that they wouldn't be back in England for a long time because they're taking some time apart to work on solo projects. Fergie, for example, revealed she is... I'm sorry. Fergie revealed that will.i.am is planning to release a solo album later this year, so it's already starting with a separate project. His album will be called Black Einstein.
Really? Really?
Care for yourself much, do you, will.i.am?
I would be more excited about this news if today they didn't announce that they're playing at a concert in Las Vegas later this summer.
No, they got a few more gigs left, but the reason it came up is because that's the last time they were going to be in England, and they made the announcement there in the U.K. But you can still see them live a couple times before.
God, they're horrible.
Will you stop?
They're so bad.
They're not like Kesha bad, for God's sakes. There's a lot worse music.
There's a lot worse, Bean.
You guys haven't heard them?
We're not saying they're great. We're just saying they're not that bad.
Yeah, for what they do, they're fine. I think Let's Get It Started is a fun song.
Okay.
And what's that?
Every song they've ever done.
Where's the love? Isn't that song?
Where's the love?
I love that song.
All right.
All right. No, I wouldn't been over this argument.
Well, it's just there's. I mean, this is one of those arguments no one can win because it's subjective.
That, right, but the argument that there's worse music than what they make is,
yes,
is
I agree
is definitely something we can all agree
there,
on. Right?
There is, but you know what? There's not is worse music that is as popular as theirs is. I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Well, that's please, correct. Please, you admit it. We appreciate that.
Hey, that was on TV.
Celebrity birthdays. Mindy Sterling from the Austin Power movies is 58 years old. Celia Ward celebrates her 55th birthday. Lisa Rinna celebrates her 48th birthday.
All right, stop right there.
I know, a lot of controversy about the Rinna bell.
Marty writes in, Lisa Rinna gets a bell, the skeleton with the weather-beaten leather coin purse face. Now, we did discuss Lisa Rinna earlier and decided she's great from the neck down. We learned that on Celebrity Apprentice this year.
Do we have a neck down bell?
And I think her face has improved greatly by getting the ridiculous implants or whatever out of her lips.
Early on, her face was spectacular when the lips were real and she was a beautiful young soap star. Then, yes, she did some damage to her face with some plastic surgery and whatnot, but she has since had it repaired and I think it looks much, much better.
She looks great now.
Do we care enough about her to have this long argument?
Yes, we need to, because there's integrity in the bell. What
there's
say
no
you
integrity
now?
In the bell.
Based on the challenge, are we overruling the bell? Or
right,
are we,
let's go under the hood. Let's go under the hood and look at the replay, and we'll see whether we reverse the call or not. What do you say?
I'm fine with the bell. I don't really care either way.
I too, am fine bell. With the bell.
I'm fine with the bell, too. All right. So, Marty in K-Town, we have given you your time, and
the
you have once again been denied.
On the field stands. Lisa Rinna retains her bell.
I just pointed to his shoulders like he's called a referee timeout.
Yeah.
It was an illegal motion by the offense, number 80, never got set before the snap.
Okay.
That foul went under a minute, causes the ball to be bone dead before the snap.
Got it.
Therefore, the offside on the defense did not occur.
Right.
The foul was before the snap.
Then, but
the clock should be reset to 24 seconds.
Okay.
That's what it was at the time of the snap.
Right.
Okay.
The illegal motion inside 1 minute requires a 10-second runoff.
So we just
reset. Therefore, the clock goes to 24.
You said
and then reset the clock to 14 seconds.
What?
And it's third down.
Okay, but no bell, though. No bell.
Game's
no bell.
Over. Game's over by now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tuesday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the host of the Repo Games, Tom DeTone.
Water is called H2O, which means one part oxygen and two parts what? Man, I'm drawing a blank here.
Helium?
Helium. Internet Roundup tomorrow. We got a brand new one. We're going to talk to Dr. Mo about Bean's imminent death, which we're very excited about. We have Axis of Awesome in studio. They're very funny. And your final chance to win tickets for our breakfast with Incubus Tuesday morning on an all-new